United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! And good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. So now you can tell that the weather outside here on May 1st is not May weather, because the sun is not shining and it's not warm outside, so you get Pharrell Williams and happy.
It's May weather.
This is not May weather.
It may rain.
No, this is not May weather. And your mic's not up. Click that little other button underneath.
Give it 2 hours.
Do me a favor. Go down and I think you're on mic three. Turn yourself up.
No, it may rain.
It may rain.
And now is this working?
Yes, go up a little bit higher.
Okay, as far as it'll go.
Oh, come back down a little bit more.
Huh?
That's good.
That's good?
That's good. Just don't yell in the mic.
Okay.
Hey, listen, it's May 1st, and today is 2014, May 1st. And in studio with me, you can tell it's like the first day of May. You've got Ben on a Thursday. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Amazing. And you've got Mark. Today is the first Monday of May.
That's today.
And it's 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. And I have Pharrell Williams with me because I'm happy.
I'm in here today, and I have to tell you, Tracy, I'm impressed.
What?
We've got these high-tech earphones.
Yeah.
I mean, your listeners don't know, but, you know, we're frugal in Tracy and Friends. And, you know, the previous headsets, maybe I'd hear in one ear, and the ear I don't hear so good in.
And now you have headsets that you can actually hear.
I don't know what to do.
Isn't it awesome?
Isn't it called stereo?
Stereo? Oh, my God.
Stereoscopic?
That's it. So now you can hear, and wait until you see what I have coming next week.
I can't wait till we can stop lighting fires to send smoke signals. That's
yeah. I mean, you know, this is good.
I mean, no hi-fi website.
This is good. Uh-huh. And so, hey, it's changing around here, and we're growing and we're building. And as we grow and we build, we can do more. Wait until I get a little money in my pocket so I can actually really do some stuff.
So what can we afford? Donuts.
No donuts. No donuts. You better hope that I don't get what I did. Listen, you better hope that I don't get the studio that I choose.
Yeah.
Because they will all have treadmills. And we will be walking on the treadmill while we do the show.
Hey, I moved my office to a building that doesn't have an elevator, so that means I'm going up and down the steps.
Very good. Matt will be very, very happy with you.
Yes, I know that. And, you know, it actually worked. My shirt collars actually fit. I was able to wear a tie. I'm wearing a tie today, folks.
Hey,
I got all due to that.
Look, great. Look, next week we're doing pictures, so it's going to be really crazy because next week everybody's here. Everyone will be here on next Thursday. May not be talking, maybe just coming in and sitting down and making some noise, but it's going to be really crazy.
Where are we going to put the studio audience?
I don't know what we're going to do with those people.
They are so quiet today.
No.
They didn't wake up yet.
No, they're out there. I see them hanging in the wind. Some people are in the chat room already. Some people are on Facebook already. We're here.
Wow.
It's Thursday. It's Mark Knows It All Thursday, and Tracy's going to learn something.
It's wonderful.
I think Ben knows a lot, too.
Ben knows. Oh, man. See, Jeff knows everything.
Yeah.
Mark knows it all.
Yeah. But not Ben.
Ben needs Jesus.
There's a reason why they call me the White Devil.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Okay. I almost fell out my car when you said Ben was in the studio.
Ben is in the studio.
I don't think that was fair.
I know. Ben is in the studio.
Almost fell out the car.
Well, how do you think I
got off my seat?
I've been here since about 8:10, and I was doing some work this morning and hopefully producing some pretty good shows, and I look around, and Ben walks in. I'm like, huh? Today's not Monday. I just left the meeting at 7 o'clock.
You got to work right through, didn't you?
Something was wrong, but Ben is here.
Yeah.
They didn't catch him at the door.
The guard is fired.
Okay.
He won't have a job at the end of the day.
You're gonna get rid of him?
Yes.
All it took was a Twinkie to get in.
Oh, jeez, that sounds good.
No, Twinkies are bad. You want a protein bar? You can't have this one. This is Kind is the best protein bar. But I got some cheap ones down there.
I got my co- coffee at Taco Bell this morning, and you know, I can the guys in front of me ordered $50 worth of Taco Bell food.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the guy. I mean, I'm gonna drive through this line quickly.
Now, do they make only breakfast burritos in the morning, or do they give you the whole schmeal?
No, I just think it's the breakfast food in the morning. I don't think you get the whole nine.
Because you know, I can eat those. Their food
all day
24/7.
I love I love Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta start getting some money in here. Because Taco Bell didn't pay for that one, but I love Taco Bell.
Oh yeah.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, KFC, they need to advertise us.
No, I don't like KFC. I mean KFC is a
Well, they're the same company.
Popeyes is better.
Well, I'm not doubting that, but they're the same
company. Who cares? Pizza Hut.
Hey.
But when I go to Pizza Hut, when you go to
advertising dollars or advertising dollars, they all taste the same.
No, they don't. They chew differently.
They do?
Yes.
That's news.
If I don't like your food, you can't advertise here.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because I can't be honest with my audience.
Oh.
We've had that experience. And when you have bad food and you bring bad food in, it's kind of hard to say, good. Oh, no. Can't lie like that.
You really think LeBron likes that McDonald's hamburger? I mean, come on now.
I don't know. He probably does.
Come on now.
Yeah.
With his money?
Yes.
You don't think he
Absolutely.
Eats Kobe beef patty?
No.
Trust me.
You got to understand when
you never take a bite during that commercial.
Listen, those are nasty because commercial burgers are really nasty.
Nasty.
But I have friends who are very, very wealthy.
Oh, he didn't know.
Who are still, Jeff knows better, who are still in love with Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I still love it.
I like
it
Kentucky
once
Fried Chicken,
yeah.
But I like Popeyes better.
I like Popeyes
I like
better.
You. I'm Popeyes.
I'm a Popeyes girl.
Popeyes
but never,
is far away for me, though.
Yeah.
That's why you got to come to the hood. If
you
come, and as a matter of fact, hood chicken is better than any and did Popeyes, churches, and KFC.
I'm in the hood right now.
Oh, no, that's a hoodie.
Oh. Does that make me a thug in Florida?
No, that doesn't make you a thug.
Oh.
That just makes you bend. Jeff, mute your mic when you're talking to other people. And the number is 347-945-5229. We might as well start it now. At 10 o'clock, Dr. Pierce Howard is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about the brain. And he has a book, and the book is like it's got to be 1,000 pages, and I'm reading through it. It's a really amazing book on the brain and the power of it.
Good. Everybody should have one.
The problem is they don't use it.
Everybody does have one.
No, but they don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes the brain uses them because you can't move without the brain.
How would you
but the problem
the Democratic
is,
Party?
Ben, listen, speaking of which, I got into a real big conversation with Beatrice.
Oh, wow.
On Facebook.
Yeah, I see. I'm friends with him, too.
All I wanted to do, I took some pictures in Florida, and I said, I need to go back. It was cold and wet. He tells me he wants to send me there as long as I don't come back until after the governor's election.
Oh.
Then he goes into this huge spiel about Sterling.
Okay.
The Clippers owner.
Okay.
And I'm going, they raked you over the coals last year.
Yeah.
Let's understand this. People have the right to think and say what they feel. It's America.
Yes.
Unless I moved and I didn't realize that I moved.
Yes.
Right now, D.L. Hughley made a joke about Columbus Short. Columbus Short is the black guy who played on Scandal. And he got into some kind of confrontation with his wife, which ended up into a domestic violence charge, which caused him to get written off one of the top sitcoms or top drama series on television in 2013 and 14. And D.L. Hughley said something a little off color, but he said she should have kept her mouth shut and took him to the bank instead of opening up her mouth, and now she's going to be broke back sitting on the side of the road. He said something to that effect, and I'm just paraphrasing. So now everybody's all up in arms about him saying something against somebody who got beat up during domestic violence, and now people are afraid to go call the police, and he's all in trouble because of saying something. Freedom of speech. Howard Stern, it is a joke, a comedian's joke. Now, I don't always agree with the comedians and how they joke. I think some of them are a little bit off color. I think some of them are blue. I think they shouldn't do that all the time. I think they can hurt people. But if you don't like them, turn them off. But this symbiotic with kumbaya. Everybody's going to be all the same. We love everybody. Barney feel is not real. Okay.
Well, they tried it in Germany a few years back. It didn't work there either.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Trace, but just let me play the devil's advocate a little bit. You know, I can argue both sides. I can understand. First of all, I think they really need to take a look at the California laws and see what law whoever taped that conversation violated, because you have to have two people consent to have a conversation taped in California, and I don't think that happened there. But I understand the position of the NBA.
I can too.
Because
money.
I think the issue isn't so much that this happened here, but this guy has a history of doing this.
Correct, and they knew it.
And they knew it. And you know, this was like a bridge too far, and it starts to hurt the franchise, and it affects all the other members of the league.
Then clip the Clippers.
Well, that'll work. We talked about that before. Let's describe that.
Clip the Clippers.
Yeah.
If it hurts the franchise, clip the Clippers. Tell the Clippers they can no longer be a part of the NBA a consortium.
Better yet, let the market sort it out. Let the market boycott Clippers merchandise.
The market will do that. But that's what I'm saying. NBA is a part of the market. They will clip them. Mm-hmm. Staples Center will clip them. State Farm clip them.
Mm-hmm.
The sponsors will clip them. Players will clip them. We won't go to the games. We won't buy their merchandise. You know, Nike will no longer sell shoes to them. It'll all get clipped. So now his market value goes from $700 million down to $2. Then I can go buy the Clippers.
Yeah, better yet, what upsets me even more is that now that this has come out, no matter how it came out, he hasn't made a formal apology.
He's not going to.
But I think, you know, knowing that's what I mean. He should. Knowing that he hurt some people's feelings.
He doesn't care.
I know he doesn't. That's what bothers me.
But listen, he's a horse's patoot.
Everyone should be free to be a horse's patoot.
And he has the right to be a horse's patoot.
Yes. But when you hurt somebody, you should apologize.
But he doesn't care that he hurt them.
So boycott his merchandise.
That's what I'm saying. But you can't boycott his merchandise because now
that's where the money is.
No, but we cut him. We didn't cut them.
Well, that works to a degree, but if you cut Los Angeles out of the marketplace in the NBA, that means a lot of innocent people will suffer in the process. So, you know, I can kind of see why they're not doing that, although that's, as I understand it, they have no – they can't force him to sell. What they can do is just what you said. Unless you sell, we're going to make all your players free agents. We're not going to sign contracts, play additional games with you, and all that stuff. And that's the impetus to get them to sell. But you know, a lot of people make money off of those teams. You know, and it's their livelihood. And
they should be made to play the Harlem Globetrotters. Forever.
I'm just saying, there was a better way to slice this because now I'm looking at D.L. Hughley.
The more egregious, and we talked about this last year. The more egregious incident was what they did to Paula Deen. This is, you know, they did it to Paul. Now look what they're doing to this guy. You know, how much? Please find me an American, and I mean this as inclusively as I possibly can, that has not made a racial slur or comment at some time in their life.
But see, Paula Deen was different. Paula Deen made a statement 27 years ago, and they came back and slapped her at 27. It was like Back to the Future. We went all the way back to find that she said the N-word back in 27 years ago and brought it to 2013.
Yeah.
This here, he is a bigot. He's a racist, and he is an egotistical, and he's not the only one.
Oh, I listen, he's horrible.
And let me say this. He's not the only one. And, Mark, I believe that you can attest to this. There are many people around here that you would be very, very surprised if you knew their racial views in public.
Oh, sure.
And sometimes those people who are white that are around these people, and I think, Ben, you can attest to this also.
Yes, I can.
Sometimes you get uncomfortable even being around them for their commentary.
Yeah.
And I can't believe he said that.
It's in spaces where you would not expect it to be. And I think that's my biggest surprise.
Right.
I find it in places where they tolerated this guy for so many years. And I don't understand why they did it. I mean, it's not like his views were hidden. They were out in the open. Everybody, they should have done this 20 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever this guy, you know, became apparent as to what he is. He doesn't care. He's 80-some years old now. How old is he?
He's 80-something. He's 80, I believe.
He's 80. Mm-hmm. You know.
And I'm just stating, you know, because I want to talk about Benghazi and emails, too.
Oh.
Because, you know, we need to really understand the focus of this. But I think the Benghazi thing and the Sterling thing fits hand in hand for the simple reason there is an imbalance of priority as well as the erosion of the American fabric of what's important and the Constitution in both cases.
And you're trying to say the White House welcomed this? Distraction?
Well, absolutely. But what I'm saying is the White House and the erosion of its honesty and its transparency and its underlying and I'm not going to say that President Obama is the first president to lie in the White House, but I am going to say the cover-up and what is going on here with the Benghazi and the cover-up of emails and the videos and the trying to spin this and spinning it out of control, going nowhere, and people losing their lives, and the Donaldson, I'm sorry, the what's his name, Donald Sterling,
yeah,
and the very very reprehensible comments that he made, but yet how they dealt with it and the lack of freedom of speech, freedom in America comes with a price, and you don't always like to hear people's truth. But people have the right to say what they choose, and you have the right to not do business with them. But when you start erasing the freedoms of America, you start erasing the Constitution. And when you erase the Constitution, I hate to tell you, you erase America as we know it.
Oh, every military officer or every military person swears an oath to uphold the Constitution. And right now, they are not doing their job.
They can't do the job. I mean, that's
because
what I'm saying.
Because of their commander-in-chief.
So you remove him. No, it's not just because of him. It's because of the system. The system is working. You have women who are getting raped and brutalized in the military. And they don't have the freedom to go and get it taken care of because of the lack of the organization of the military and how they handle it.
Moral discipline.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of little things that are going on, and they have been erasing the Constitution and the freedoms of America in little bits and pieces, and now you're beginning to see it in larger chunks.
Well, if you looked at Chuck Schumer made some comments yesterday relating to amending the Constitution relating to free speech issues when it comes to campaign finance. You know, and he said, you know, the freedom of speech is not unlimited. There are limits to it. That's really dangerous when, you know, I hear that kind of talk, because I know where they're going. These people will go and try to attempt to stifle any speech that might oppose an incumbent or the person they deemed who should be the incumbent. And McCain-Feingold did that. It was overturned. It was rightfully overturned. And, you know, the thought police and the free speech police, this is dangerous, it's scary, and we all ought to be concerned in a major way.
And that's my concern. And when I look at the covering up, if you want to see something that's really sad, look at the cover up of Benghazi. There was they blamed it. Susan Rice went on the talking head shows, and they got up and blamed Benghazi on a video.
That guy's in jail, by the way.
They blamed it on him, and that was to make him go away.
Yeah.
They blamed Stevens. All this was on a video. And we watched her, and they knew better. Why would they do that? Why would they not call in troops to go and save Stevens? Why did we not hear about a salute to him? Why did we not fly our flags at half mast?
There were four U.S. servicemen who disobeyed direct orders and went back there to save them. So why aren't we calling these guys heroes? Why aren't we honoring these four men who lost their lives trying to save American lives?
Because we don't want the truth.
Well, I want the truth.
No, you don't.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle it.
I'll
stand on the wall with a gun.
We don't want Americans to know just how bad things are. And it's not just Benghazi. There's many things. Right now, our conversation is legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, our conversation is...
Well, how better to dumb down America?
That's what I'm saying.
Keep them high and stupid.
Let's crack them in the Coliseum, entertain them, feed them, and they'll be complacent.
Hillary Clinton's going to... And wait a minute, and she's still the forerunner for the White House.
Yeah, she just wouldn't win the Mother of the Year award for taking her daughter to an active war zone. That's somebody I want to vote for. I mean, come on. If you're a Democrat and you vote for Hillary Clinton, knowing what she did, by her own admission, took her daughter to an active war zone, which we know is a lie. Either she's a liar or she's the worst Mother of the Year. Do you want either one of them as your president?
I mean,
I'll tell you, this Benghazi thing, I think it's going to have ramifications. And Tracy, I've been on the record.
Yeah.
I've been on the record saying that Obama will not make it through this year in the White House. And
you think he'll be impeached?
I think the Democrats are going to come to the conclusion that they're going to lose the Senate. They don't want to lose the presidency in 2 years. Getting Hillary Clinton elected is more important than keeping Obama as president. And they'll dump him. So they go into the next 2 years with a clean slate, or so they think. I don't think he's going to make it. And as this dam is breaking, I watched the dude from ABC News question Jay Carney yesterday. That is some of the most aggressive questioning I've seen of any president anywhere. It's about time. It's a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the lies are starting to pile up. And the dam is starting to break, and when the water comes through, it's going to come through gushing, and it's going to wipe them out.
Listen, I think he's 6 feet under already.
Yeah.
Water or dirt, whatever you want to say. He's a lame duck.
He's a lame duck.
President Obama?
Almost definitely. I mean, there are people that still support him, people that are blinded, people that cannot see the truth right before their eyes, but... I don't know. And then there are people who claim to be progressives who will support him no matter what because that's what they believe in. They think they're elitist and they want to be, you know, one quarter of the Earth's population left after they eliminate all us others.
Well, there's always, you know, the elitists are always going to be there. Well, I'm concerned about the lack of press.
Who owns the press? There are no press. Who owns it?
So you look at Ben Rhodes, who wrote that memo. If I heard the story right, his brother is president of CBS News.
And your point is?
That's right.
That's how we did it. I always look to see how politicians do accomplish what they do, especially if it's bad. And what this guy did, he came into office and he hired everybody. He hired the wives of the press. He hired, the brothers, the kids of all the people who run the news media. And all of a sudden, they're neutered because they can't say anything because they like being in that position.
Good job. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The Valley's largest business trade show is back, bigger and better than ever. The Regional Chambers Business Showcase 2014, Thursday, May 1st from noon till 4:30 at Mr. Anthony's. This event is free and open to the public. Can't make it during the day? Then attend Showcase Business After Hours from 5 till 8. Admission is $25 for members, $35 for non-members. Sponsored by Anthem, 42 Event Production, The Business Journal, American Business Center, Comp One, and Cumulus Youngstown.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is my story, and my playlist tells it. I love taking my sons to baseball practice. Reminds me of when my dad used to take my brother and I to our Little League games when we were kids. My favorite part of that time was listening to the radio with my dad on the way to the park. With RDO, I can share those memories with my kids and make playlists of the songs I used to hear with my dad. With 20 million songs all in one spot, it's easy to do. RDO.com, the best digital music site out there. This is my story, and my playlist tells it.
Download the RDIO free app today to start your musical journey.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is. Bring me down, can't none bring me down, the love of two. Bring me down, can't none bring me down, I said.
Because I'm happy.
Hey, good afternoon. Oh, no, it's still morning. Good morning, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 36 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on May the 1st, 2014. And in studio with me, I have both Ben and Mark.
I'm still loving these headphones. This is like, wow.
Yeah, they are nice, aren't they?
I'm not getting static.
Oh, no.
I'm hearing in both ears.
Absolutely. And as long as you guys take care of them, they'll be really, really nice. But when you guys start throwing them up against the wall and dropping them on the floor and stretching the crap out the head, then they won't work anymore.
I got a big brain,
you know, and I got a big head. But you can't go like this and slap them down on your head. You got to take care of them gingerly. If not, they'll end up like the other ones, because they were good headsets when they started.
Yeah, well, you know.
I buy the best now. I got a bunch of men hanging out with me, and you guys know how you guys are, right?
Hey, it's genetic.
Oh, that's what you call it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're naturally, we have to do stuff like that.
Okay, and you know, it's like picking up a hat behind you. I understand. I got it.
I watched a show on PBS the other day about the snow monkeys in Japan. It was amazing. I'm not a big nature fan, but these monkeys are smart little buggers. I'll tell you.
You know, I've seen stories on them from years ago, but they bathe themselves on hot spring water.
Yeah,
live up at altitudes that would just freeze us to death.
Yeah, they look like little. And what's, you know, when they get wet, they stood up and the fur just went away. The little skinny things, and these things like wearing these mammoth fur coats, and very family oriented and group oriented. And
if I had to come back as an animal, I'd come back as one of them.
Yeah,
they
lounge in that hot springs.
Yeah, I mean they got the life. Let me tell you. People come and feed them.
Good morning.
I'm lucky if I can get hot water out of my shower in the morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you this morning?
Oh. Hey, Tracy. How are you going this morning?
I'm doing good.
Hey, it's not raining, so I.
It's not raining, though. Yeah, but the sun's not shining, so it's now happy. So what's new? Stanley, your mic is on, too.
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Stanley.
I disagree with what I heard about the other person. I'm sorry, Mark, I disagree. Republicans are going to lose in 2016. I'm sorry, you are going to lose. There's not going
to
be...
Who are we
going
to lose to?
He said, "Oh, Republicans are going to get back the Senate." No, you're not. You're not getting back the Senate.
You're not getting back anything.
We will not lose in 2016. That will not happen.
The Senate is 2014. We're talking about the Senate in November.
Sorry. We will not lose the Senate. Period. We won't.
Okay.
You think we forgot what happened with Republicans when they were responsible for shutting down the whole system? You think that people forgot about that?
Stanley, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Stanley.
You know, you can speak that into, you know, speak those things that are not as though they are if you want to. But unless something happens big time, y'all in trouble.
What trouble are we?
Stanley, this Benghazi thing is blowing up in Hillary Clinton's face.
We're still talking about Benghazi? Really? Really?
Democratic supporters didn't suffer from the sequestration thanks to so-called Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to go deeper and further than you can ever imagine.
Fine, make it go deeper and further and everything, but if we're going to start doing that, why don't we do the same thing for George Bush? Let's go deeper and further. You don't want to go there.
Yeah, it is.
If we go deeper and further, Benghazi has 0% compared to what George Bush did, which was responsible for torturing people.
If you want to talk about the torture or the waterboarding or what we did for intelligence, you know, everybody demonized George W. Bush for the and Dick Cheney, and I am not a Dick Cheney fan in any way, shape of the imagination. But they jumped on him about all the torture techniques and all the stuff they used, and how Gitmo was so bad. Can you please tell me when President Obama stopped all these techniques?
when President Obama was trying to close the prison, and basically the Republicans were saying, no, we're not accepting that.
No,
did you talk about that? When President Obama is trying every time to say we need to close
Why are liberals obsessed with George Bush, and why are Republicans obsessed with Hillary Clinton? I'm sick and tired of hearing about Clinton and Bush.
Because it's a dynasty, the dynasty of majesty that we have to continue on the fight. But President Obama, it's when it comes to the acts of getting information and Gitmo, President Obama has decided that he needed to shut up because there was nothing he could do about what was going on, and he had to continue the actual treatment of people the way that's always been done.
And in addition,
he
sends the drones out and he blows them up.
Absolutely. And the drones are like little flies.
That's right. They go up there, they blow these people up, and they blow that people up. And somehow I am missing the argument as how that's more humane than keeping them alive.
People with water drops.
To torture people with water and get some information that can
help
us.
Remember we were talking about brains and small brains?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait. Yes, you think that we just did water?
This is leading right into that. Thank you, Sam.
Are you really telling me that we just did the water thing? Did you see there was movies that talked about what we've done? We didn't just do the water thing. Do you know that we were basically holding up people for 24 hours and without sleep? You know, there was not just the water.
Can I tell you something? I hate to tell you this. Everybody needs to be happy that Tracy is not an operative for the CIA.
Tracy, did Stanley just say he gets his understanding of foreign policy from movies? Did you just say that, Stanley?
Yes. No, I get my understanding.
Once again, we're going to be talking about large
commentaries that shows you what happened. I get my understanding from policy, from documentary.
War is not humane, Stanley. I hate to break it to you.
Samuel L. Jackson forms your policy because I saw him urinating pee down a guy's mouth in a movie one time, so... And he was supposed to be an interrogator, so that means that you actually, you know, that's how you think, right?
Listen, I'm just trying to tell you, we need to understand that when you interrogate, when you go to war is not supposed to be this, you know, I'm going to sit you down and have a conversation with you, smile across from the table, and act like I won't kill you. I will take you out if it's going to save my family's life or my objective. I think somebody told me yesterday what Donald Sterling was mean. Guess what? I am just that ruthless. Absolutely. If you're going to hurt me and feel a certain way, I will cut your throat and make you bleed very, very slowly. Not to make you die, but to torture you. I'm a woman.
That's free market capitalism. Yep, that's free market capitalism.
Wow.
I mean,
what about that guy down in Oklahoma? Was it Oklahoma? They botched the execution yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you saw what he did to that girl? They raped her. They buried her alive. She suffered for hours and hours and hours. And
they botched his execution.
And they botched his execution, and the guy had a heart attack and died. So
But everybody's upset because you hurt him when he died.
They could have put a bullet to his brain. It would have been instantaneous. They don't want to hang him, and it would have broken his neck. I don't want to do those.
If it was up to Stanley, they would have waterboarded him.
Well, there you go. Waterboarding's good.
some raindrops. Why can't we just get an execution squad? So however you murder is how you die.
That's right. There we go.
So yeah. If you
bring back old Smokey, I say. Bring back old Smokey.
Fire her up.
Yeah.
Fire in the hole.
Was it Smokey or Sparky they used to
Sparky.
Call it?
Sparky.
Sparky.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sparky. Sparky.
Fire it up.
Tracy.
Yes, Stanley.
Tracy, the problem with what you're saying with the death penalty, what do we do when we found out that person wasn't responsible for doing the crime and we still killed them?
Because there's many cases
that we saw that person did the crime and we put them in death penalty, and then we found out by DNA, he didn't rape that girl.
Stanley wasn't
there.
Stanley, he confessed.
He said I did it. And I was happy to do it.
And they have DNA evidence
that
proves it.
I'm not talking about that case. I'm talking
about
any case.
You got Charlie Manson sitting in a cell for life. He won't die. Everybody knows he's a bad man. He knows he's a bad man. He walks around being a bad man, and we keep him alive, and we spend money on him keeping him alive because
And you'll never find DNA evidence because he was never at any one of the scenes of the crime.
There you go. Don't get me wrong. I believe that there are people that are incarcerated that should not be there, and we need to deal with that situation. And I'm not saying that we ought to do things that are inhumane to people who did not commit the crime. But there are some people out there who do some real heinous things. They need to go away. And we need to quit paying for them to stay alive because of they got rights. Their rights were terminated the day they did the crime.
I don't have any rights.
You're right. You're a white man. You don't have rights.
I don't have any rights. Everybody else has rights. I don't have any rights. I'm looking for some rights. What do I have a right to? I got a right to nothing.
Yes, you have the right to take care of everyone else.
There, when it comes to opinions, I don't have any wrongs.
Covina, man, your mic is on.
I was just saying, I think where Stanley, you know, is partially right here, but he's going to be wrong in another way, because although the Democrats may have the electoral count as far as, like, you know, the number of people who would agree with the Democrats, the problem is in the 2014 election, midterm election, they don't turn out. If it just follows the pattern from the usual midterm elections, the usual constituents that make up the Democratic electorate doesn't show up in proportion to that of the Republicans.
Because of voter suppression, right?
No, that's besides the point. I'm just saying, no, they don't usually show up because of other people. It's not glamorous to vote for, you know, 75-year-old senator person or, you know, or whatever like that. So people don't show up. But in a presidential election, like 2016, it should be a walkthrough.
What I'm wondering, at what point, is I've listened to some of the conversation this morning, at what point do people wake up and smell the coffee as to what these people have done? I don't know if you watched O'Reilly last night, but Jesse Waters went to Harlem to talk with the folks about Mr. Sterling. And it was kind of interesting. And I rarely hear Jesse Waters make commentary in generalization, but he said that within the Harlem community, that they primarily, let me see if I can get it right, how he phrased it, they view President Obama as not having done anything for the African-American community, and the African-American community, for the most part, supported Sterling's right to express his opinion. And he was surprised at that, but I don't know why he should be surprised. I mean, we all, you know, the tie that binds is our Constitution, and I think that's kind of an interesting take from that kind of an effort.
Mark, there's something that really surprised me, and sort of on the same lines. I was watching a program and. On this program, they had a letter written to Adolf Hitler from a person who served with him in World War I, who was of Jewish descent.
Okay.
Praising him.
For what?
That's my point.
But you know what? Let me say this.
He said, listen, I know you can't be behind all this Jewish hate, and yet he was behind everything. It's amazing how people are disillusioned, or I don't know if it's disillusioned, but just can't come to realize the truth sometimes.
Yeah, well, if you can figure it out, let me know.
You
know,
I know this, Adolf. Whoa. He's going to never do this to us.
Yeah.
He's going to be good for the Jewish people.
Alabama, your mic is on. We have to realize bad people have moments of clarity. And when I say that, there are some bad people that do some good things. And I hate to say it, but they do. You got some real horses. Hold on, Alabama. You got some real horses, batoots out there that can do some conscious moments. not to defend them and not to say that they're okay because they're not. But I have seen some bad people do some great things. You got people who are, let me say this, you have people that are brutally bigots, and they are brutally racist. Yet they will go, they'll be firemen, and they'll come and save your house from burning down. Doesn't change the view of how they feel about you. But they will do that. But you need to call a spade, and what's happening in America is you're not allowed to call things out, and you're not allowed to be honest. And so now we have what I think Mark calls the thought police. You're not allowed to be honest about who you are.
Even in the privacy of your own home.
Correct.
Even to your spouse, even to your children. Because when you reach a point where we as Americans, as a country, need to sit down and examine our core values, which we have been sorely lacking in doing for a number of years across both parties. And there's nothing more precious than freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, all of the great freedoms that we have. And when people are willing to throw them away, I get upset. I don't want to throw them away.
I don't think they understand.
God, Sterling could be a jerk. He's the biggest jerk. You know, first of all, he's a jerk for doing what he's doing to his wife. He's a jerk for shacking up with this babe who would tape him after giving her millions upon millions of dollars. And, you know, he's a jerk for his racial views. And but you know what? That's him. And when you're saying it in the privacy of your home, I don't want the thought police coming into my house. And they've got the ability to do it now, and that's what's scary.
That's what bothers me.
But Tracy, yeah. One of the things that I find somewhat hypocritical is that as you study the history of this country and the recent history of this country, you see wrongs that have been done. And so when people say, when you say something against Obama, what black people feel is, and what a lot of people feel is that, well, you weren't saying let's be fair and just when you were doing X, Y, and Z. And that's the thing. That's the sentiment of a lot of people, especially black people. And let's be honest, black people are the ones that helped him limp across the finish line last time. So I have to be fair on this and not just say, okay, well, yeah, I'm conservative, but there are some things that America, not just Republicans and Democrats, have done, and I think many Caucasian individuals want to just say, "Oh, suck it up, pull yourself up." You have that mentality, or they feel like they have this plausible deniability that nothing's taking place, or they're just quite frankly just ignorant of the facts. And then when you confront them with it, they say they didn't have anything to do with it. They're, you know, as if it didn't. You know.
Thank you, convenient man.
I agree. That wasn't a convenient.
I'm Alabama, by the way. But go ahead.
I agree. Thank you, Alabama,
because that is the whole thing that I always come back with conservative. What were you, all these people, when Bruce Lee was doing crazy things? I didn't hear none of you guys.
Stanley, we can't hear you, sweetie. We can't hear you. Something's wrong with your mic. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you better now.
Okay. Where were you when George Bush was doing crazy things?
Who
I mean,
said
from Mark?
Stanley, you
Tracy,
didn't know me back there, Stanley.
Stanley, you were not with us. This is what you fail to realize, Stanley.
You don't
I've
know what I said
seven,
about Obama.
I've been on for 7 years.
You don't know what I said.
And so I've gone through a part of the Bush administration, and I've gone through the majority of, and we've gone through all of the Obama administration. And we were just as critical of the Bush administration as we are about the Obama administration, even as conservatives. If he did something that I didn't like, I came out and said it. That's what makes my show the way it is. We just tell it how we feel, however we feel it. We don't always agree with the Republicans and what they're doing. That's not what this is about. This is about doing the right thing. When they gave President Bush the declaration to go to war, without having to go back to Congress, I said it was a bad idea. I thought that they should have done hearings and due diligence before they went. They didn't do that. When they did shock and awe and they put it all on television, I said it was a bad idea. You have to understand who I am. I did not think it was a great idea. When Colin Powell went to the United Nations and he was pleading the case, I questioned how we went about doing things and how we had to go to the United Nations to get permission for us to go into war. I had issues with that. You have to understand who I am and quit putting all Republicans into the same bag. That's where we lose. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
This time, it's...
Right, Stanley always confusing me and Alabama.
Sorry, Alabama, I agree with you. And I'm sorry, I didn't hear conservative. Maybe Tracy was one of the conservatives doing something. But I'm sorry, Mark, and the way they sounding is, it's like I'm looking at it, the president is the worst president
Stanley,
in the world.
Stanley, let me say this right here.
I'm like, really? Hold on, Stanley.
I think it trivializes the black situation to just shrink it down to Obama. Obama is part of the machine. Obama wouldn't be where he is if he was going to actually do something for black people. I mean, I'm just being honest. I think that the power just, I mean, that's just part of his. So let's just stop saying, okay, he has black skin, so he's one of us. Obama's not for black people. That's clear. So,
and it's not,
it's not
fair.
Yeah.
When you sit there and say that, what were you when George Bush was saying this and that, you didn't know me back then, with all due respect.
Sorry, I didn't hear no conservative. I'm sorry, I've listened to many radio shows, and I'm sorry, since Obama's been president, I've heard no conservative things. We lost our country. Let me just finish, because that's what I hear from conservatives. We've lost our country, we've lost the Constitution, we've lost this, we've lost this. I didn't hear none of that when Bush was for happening. I was
hearing the drones flying over United States soil was done under Bush in 2004. So, I mean, we didn't know about it. It just became declassified, not through the Freedom of Information Act, but we didn't know this stuff, man. My thing is this. I'm just saying that when I said what I said, I'm talking about the FHA, the Housing and Urban Development, the system that was set up and how they're moving through the system, not through one or two Republicans. No. I'm talking about just the system and how it's set up and how wealth has been taken when people of color have tried to generate it. Wealth has been snatched out of their hands. And I would love for the lawyer guy, Mark, to come back with his, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it, because I got a lot of stuff to say about that today. Now, I hope he listens.
Yeah. It's so confusing. Everybody's jumping on him, like, when he's the only president who tried to do something with health care and the Republican did nothing? And you don't even have the audacity.
Stanley,
to
it was the Republicans' idea to do something in the first place. Let's not forget.
Republicans, you're just there to have wars. Oh, we want to have a war, let's have a war. That's it. We can't complain with somebody, let's have a war.
No, Stanley, what I'm saying is I think you lose as a black person when you try to reason the Democrats' side every time on every situation.
Every time.
Sometimes you have to dislodge yourself, your emotions from your past, and say, you know what? What's best? What's the best situation for us as a people? And I mean, then you know, I'm just saying the way you're thinking, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like whatever Obama does is good for black people. And I don't see how charging people on their taxes if they don't get health care is a good idea. I just don't.
It's not. It's a terrible idea.
But I'm not saying that the Obamacare, I am for everything he does, but I'm not gonna laugh at the person when he's the only president that's trying to do something when nobody's done something. You can't even go to that person and say, well, you know, at least he's doing something, and everybody's jumping on him like he did nothing. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna accept that level of things. I'm not gonna accept that level of hypocrites of saying that, oh, we've done this. What did you do? What did Republicans do for black people?
They wrote the bill. They wrote the bill. A lot of the things they wrote, it's a hybrid between Democrats and Republicans. So it's not just one side, man. I'm trying to say that it's not. We're not playing the game smart by coming in all Democrat every day, all day. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's just sad. I'm not saying be Republican 100% either, but it's sad that every time a black person opens for a guy who really has no relation to black people.
outside his wife. I mean, none. I mean, this guy's not what you think he is. He's just not. And when he gets around blacks, he insults them. Every time he gets around black people, he insults them. And we still take up for this guy. I'm sorry. I don't see how we can. That's all I'm saying. I just think the game needs to be played smarter. That's all, wiser, and not just demonizing everybody with a R by his name. It's just going to ensure everybody to keep voting Democrat, everybody to keep, and you're going to keep being ostracized and overran like you did in California. Now they're heading to Nevada. I mean, it's just black people going to suffer. And you know what? I think that's probably what needs to happen, and it'll force us to start building our own economic infrastructure and making some smarter decisions. But you cannot enforce power over someone if you have nothing to withhold from them. And we don't own and control nothing. So this all this taking up for a guy who really calls you to your face lazy and anything, anytime he gets in front of you, I don't think it's smart.
No, I agree with you. I think that as black people, we need to look at both parties and not vote just Democrat because they did something. I think we should do like Latinos and basically stand up for that part. That's one part I do agree. And, yes, we do need to get back to the power thing that you say. We need to have businesses done by black people. We need to teach young kids to stop basically looking for a job and trying to – no, no, no. We need to tell them that you need to be entrepreneur. You need to build something. You need to take your degrees and do something with it that you can have power with it and have money. And once we have the money – and we have put together the black people all together, we put money together, then we can get voted what we need to do, like other people are doing. That I do agree with you. I've always agreed with that.
Power respects power, man. I mean, we have none. We got the carpet for the horse, man. We need to do what Malcolm X said.
I always agree with that. Malcolm X is coming in begging this guy.
He said you have no moral right. I got food in my mouth. You have no moral right to come and ask someone who built something to just give it to you. I mean, you have no moral right. I mean, he said that.
Yeah.
But we always, you know, we show the I Have a Dream speech and the Birmingham dogs and hoses. But people don't see all of everything that had to do with civil rights.
No, I think that Malcolm X was right. In that part, we need to be strong economically because, like you say, we don't own something. And when I'm hearing black people saying, oh, I have a job, this and that, I'm like, you know what job is? Just over broke. You're just one paycheck of being broke, people. So it doesn't surprise me when you have a job, you get fired, this and that. You're just over broke. I've done it for 10 years in IT as a person. And after 11 years, it's fuck that. What am I doing it for? I'm going to get a job. I have somebody else who's dependent, who has the total power in me and can fire me anytime he wants, even if I'm doing the job, just because it's business. And I was never going to get a salary $100,000 or more. Never. Even if I go get the biggest degree.
Wait a minute. You did IT and you said you ain't going to ever make over $100,000?
No, I did IT, but the thing I did after that, I went all the way to 75, 80, but IBM was basically cutting. They were basically doing contracts. They weren't hiring to the highest level and everything. Yes, you could go to a certain degree, but I was basically teaching, doing some database, Oracle, things like that. That's what I was learning, because everybody told me, go in that and you'll make more money. I saw the money you could make. But it's not just that, the tax and this and that. I said, no, let me do it on my own, and I'll make more money. Let me do something with the website and things like that, with database and everything, and I'll make more money. And I am.
What do you do?
I basically do products, different products for natural things. I open a website. I do different things. I do some website designing. I do some website with the database. I have a product I'm doing on Amazon, selling product like Garcia Cambogia and things like that, natural product, and that's one part I'm doing. So a lot of e-commerce I'm doing. That's what I'm doing for now.
Search engine optimization?
Yeah, search and optimization, e-commerce, that's one thing I'm doing. And my e-commerce, it's
all you have to do.
private labeling.
If you know how to optimize a website to make it come on the first page of a particular search, and that search is getting searched over a million times a month, that's wealth. I mean, that's a lot of wealth. If you sell the product and you get 1%, you talk about $30,000-$40,000 a month in sales.
Exactly.
Just on that one website.
Thank you. And that's the thing we need to teach people. We need to teach those things. We need to teach them about email marketing. We need to teach them about affiliate marketing. We need to teach them that, hey, if you're able to basically, you know, when you go to any store and you're like, damn, I don't want to get this mark. I want to get the mark of Walmart. That's private labeling. Anybody could do it, people. Anybody could do private labeling. You just need to go get the manufacturer and go get the product and put your own brand on it. And when you put your own brand on it, you decide of the power. You decide of the fight.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Here come bad news, talking this and that. Probably warn you, I'll be just fine. Yeah. No offense to you, don't waste your time. Here's why.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a room.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I know some of you guys are tired of me playing this song in the morning, but you guys have to understand, the sun's not shining here in Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania, and we need to be some of this, as Mark calls, toe tapper.
It makes me feel groovy. I'm feeling groovy.
I was in a meeting this morning at 7 o'clock, and I'm serious. I had a meeting this morning at 7 o'clock, and we were inside of a dining area, and they had the music piped in, and this song came on, and the whole conversation stopped so that we could talk about this song being on, and how people just enjoyed it. And they said, I just love this song. It just does so much. And they started talking about Pharrell Williams and how I'm like, really amazing. Then you can look on television, they're still talking about the song Happy. It's infectious.
I know. You got you moving. Get your blood going.
And listen, guys.
You know the song was written for CeeLo Green?
Pardon me?
You know the song was written for CeeLo Green?
CeeLo Green what?
It was originally written for CeeLo Green.
Yes, he said that. I heard that this morning. And I did not know that until I saw that this morning. But, again, they keep on talking about the song because everybody loves the song. Listen, I'm going to mute everybody's mic out for just a moment. I have a guest on the phone, and I've been trying to hook up with this guy for at least 4 weeks, I think it is, maybe 5 weeks. His name is Pierce Howard. He has his Ph.D., and he has written a book called The Owner's Manual for the Brain, The Ultimate Guide to Peak Mental Performance at all ages. And he's written other books also. And he deals with personalities a lot. And so I have him on. I want to take some time to talk to him for just a minute. In a few minutes, I'll let you guys in to ask him some questions. If you go to Google and you Google Owner's Manual for the Brain or Pierce Howard, you'll be able to find a lot of stuff on there about what he's done. Good morning, Dr. Howard. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy. Fine, thank you.
Thank you for coming on with us.
My pleasure.
You know, your book was intimidating when I saw how thick it was. But I will say that it was very simple reading.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope not too simple.
It was thought-provoking, I'll put it that way, but it was a good read. And I've been reading on it, and I'm reading it through the chapters, and it's very, very informative. Very, very, it's helping me with a lot of things.
Well, I appreciate it. The principle in the book is, you know, there are three kinds of scientists in the world. There are people that do the basic research, and then there are people who practice the results of research. We call them the researchers and the practitioners. And then there are people in between who translate research for the practitioner. And that's what I enjoy doing, is the translation. And the book is organized into black sections and blue sections. And if you read the whole thing, you'll end up black and blue, as they say. but the black type refers to research findings, and the blue type refers to things you can, practical things you can do with those findings.
I know that I've been dealing with, I have a hard time memorizing things. And so I jumped around and I went to the memory part of the book, and I found it to be very, very applicable to and principles so I could add things into my life to make me actually become better at it, to understand.
You know, memory, Tracy, is a funny thing. When we are in school, elementary school, high school, college, graduate school, we take tests, we have to go to class and answer questions, and so memory is something that we work at. And you, typically we don't just read something, we underline it, we make notes in the margin, we go over it several times and try to make a point of remembering it. We ask questions of our roommate or classmate. We have study sessions together. We do lots of things. We make little flashcards. We do all kinds of things to try to remember. And it works. We graduate from school because we can remember things and perform on tests and other things. And the same thing is true if we're a musician or an actor or a football player. We have to remember things in order to perform. But then we graduate from school, and most of us stop doing all of that study. We stop underlining. We stop notes in the margin. We stop making flashcards. We stop calling things out to each other. And so one day we read something in the newspaper or hear something on WASN Morning Coffee with Tracy and Friends, and we go to lunch with somebody and we say, you know, when I heard Tracy talking with so-and-so this morning, what was his name? Oh, my goodness, I can't remember his name. I'm getting Alzheimer's. I'm losing my memory. I'm just 25 years old and 2 years out of school, and I'm already losing my memory. Well, that is a silly position to take. It's as though, Tracy, when we graduate from school, we think our mind is somehow going to turn into flypaper, and it's just going to catch every fact we come across without having to study for it.
That's true.
In fact, a few years back, Oprah Winfrey had me on her show, and she was concerned about what she called yuppie Alzheimer's. She thought she had information overload. She couldn't remember where she had the combination to get into her building in Chicago and stuff like that. And my point with her was, you don't have information overload. You just have trouble saying no to all the wonderful things in life and focusing on what's important. And that's the name of the game. It's we need to focus on what's important and study it and remember it.
Who is your book written for?
Actually, my daughter. my daughter said, Daddy, you ought to write a book.
And you said, oh, good idea.
It was originally written in terms of a larger audience than just our daughter. It was originally written for consultants and trainers. That was the professional association that I was in. I did a program once called Brain Research for Consultants. What are we finding out from brain research that would be of value to people in the human resources consulting and training field to use in their helping individuals and organizations grow in the workplace? But it has now has that was the primary audience originally. But since that time, it's been used as textbooks. It's been used as other kinds of sources. So it has a much wider audience now than it originally did.
Because this is I'm on your fourth edition. You've been at this book for a while. This
yeah,
is
first
not a
one
new,
was in 1994. Yeah, first one was in 1994.
Wow. Now, you have some other books that you've written, also. What are those?
Well, actually, last year I came out with one called The Owner's Manual for Happiness. And The Owner's Manual for Happiness, it's referred to in the Brain book, but I go into more depth in this book. And the notion there, Tracy, is that some people are born happy, and they are the envy of. Now, I heard you talking about the happy video that has gone viral, which I dearly enjoy watching. But what he portrays in that happiness video is what I call the one person out of nine who is born happy. They're like the cheerleaders of the world. They're full of the positive emotions. And it's relatively rare that they experience the negative emotions. I call that just being born happy. Some examples of those individuals in the public media are Maria in The Sound of Music. When she goes into the convent, she continues to be inexpressibly happy and doesn't get morose, doesn't get down. She's always bubbly. And they come up with this song in The Sound of Music. You know the title of it. What do we do with a problem like Maria? How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? And they don't know what to do with her because of her ineffable happiness. Another one is, you may remember the Italian movie, Life is Beautiful, starring Roberto Benigni. And his wife is sent to a is apparently killed, and he and his son are sent to a concentration camp. But, again, he's one of these people that's just born happy. You can't get him down. And he and his son start playing pranks on the guards at the concentration camp. That sort of thing. There's another one, in fact, that takes place in your home state, in Ohio. You may be familiar with the book, The Prize Winner of Defiance, Ohio. And in that book, the mother of a dozen kids, and she's married to an alcoholic who eats up every paycheck, or drinks up every paycheck. She just rolls with the punches and starts entering jingle contests and supports her family with the prize winnings that she gets. It may be $5 one day, it may be a Cadillac the next day. And a movie was made out of that starring Julianne Moore. And she can't get her down. She's the one in nine people that are just born that way. And her husband comes home one day and sees that she's won a chest freezer, a floor freezer, and he gets angry and starts attacking it with an axe and ends up spilling a big glass jar, a gallon of milk all over the kitchen floor and breaking the bottle. And so not getting down at all, she goes and grabs up the kids and said, "Hey, kids, come on and join me. We got a cleanup job to do." And that's that one person in nine that's born happy, that's very much like the video that you've been referring to by Trevon Williams. What my book is about is for those other eight out of nine who are never going to be that way but can find a satisfying state to be in. It's just as good to be in as happiness itself.
So what do we do with the other – what do we do with this? You said there's how many – one in what? They're happy.
One person in nine is born that way.
So what do we do with the nine out of the ten? The other nine.
Well, the other eight
there's
out of the nine,
people
as
out
it
there.
Well, you know, one interesting piece of research, Tracy, is that, and this is from Sonia Lubomirsky in California. She has found that a life of service, a life of altruism, where you are serving other people. In the sense of helping out. A life of service is a life of a high sense of well-being. You may not be happy, but you have kind of an inner glow. You have a sense, your life has purpose, and you say to yourself, my life has purpose, it has meaning, I feel good about what I'm doing with my life. I wouldn't necessarily describe myself as a happy person, not like Maria and The Sound of Music and that sort of thing. But my life has meaning, and it's worthwhile. So a life of service or altruism is one thing that you can do. Another thing that you can do is it's a state Tracy, that we call flow. Some people might call it being in a zone. But flow is a mental state in which you are so involved in what you're doing that you lose all sense of time, place, temperature, hunger, and all that sort of thing. You're totally engaged, whether you're reading a book or building a piece of furniture or engaged in some kind of a project, planting a garden. You're so engaged in what you're doing that nothing else enters your mind. You're just totally in the moment. And that's called the flow state. It was made popular by a Hungarian-American named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And he used to be in Chicago, University of Chicago. He's now at Claremont Graduate School in California. But he found that manage their lives in a way that helps them stay in that flow state. And the book tells you how to manage your life in such a way as to stay in that flow state. It's a great place to be. I like to be in the flow state. And one, you're neither happy nor unhappy when you're in that state of flow.
Mark, you had a question.
Yeah. Doctor, so I'm 64 years old. And
I'm 72.
Okay. Well, then you'll know what I'm talking about, because over the past 2 weeks, I've moved my office. I've had my email hacked. I've got passwords going through my brain like a box of Rice Krispies. They keep telling me, do this, do that, do the other thing. My cable blew up at home. It just kind of goes on and on. Getting my phone system in my new office, getting my wireless, I have got my BlackBerry filled with passwords that how do you cope?
Yeah.
I mean, this is modern everyday life, passwords, internet, and it just really, when you talk about brain overload, I feel like I've got brain overload.
Well, again, I understand totally what you're saying, and part of it is you make your bed and you lie in it. You embrace court and win a very attractive partner, and you take the consequences of other people eyeing your partner all the time, and you learn to deal with it. You embrace the world of the internet. And you say, okay, I'm going to learn to live with the world of passwords. Passwords are a bane to everybody's existence until you make your peace with it and just kind of make a joke of it. I mean, I've got a list. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I've got a list of about 50 different passwords, and some of those passwords I use multiple times, and some are unique. But they're all alphabetically listed by the application with which they're associated. And the ones that I use frequently, I remember. And the ones that I don't use frequently, I can always look at it. It's just a matter of learning not to resent the fact that I need to take 15 seconds to look up a password.
I used to
really resent it, and now I just kind of chuckle about it and say, okay, that's part of being alive in the 21st century.
How do you change patterns of habits for a better organization?
Well,
when you said that you actually have a list, you've listed them alphabetical, that means you are really dealing with a systematic order for where when you put in a new password, you automatically catalog it and you automatically
I have disciplined myself to whenever I create a password, I discipline myself to immediately take the 30 seconds required to go and enter the password and the application with which it's associated on my list. I don't create a new password without adding it to my list. I just do
so
it.
How do
it's
you,
just I've created
so how
that
we,
habit. I just I make myself
how
do, do
how
it.
How do we create new habits? Because inside of your book, you talk about wellness, and which means you talk about memorization. Memorization is an ongoing habit that you have to go in and you have to discipline yourself to go back to it every couple days, especially when you're not in school. When you talk about eating habits, you have to discipline yourself not to eat or to eat. Discipline and self-control is a high brain function that we choose not to do so because we don't want to have to think about it and be accountable for it. How do we do that? And is that in your book? Because if it is, I need to know what chapter so I can get to it.
Yeah,
I need to start that now.
There is a section on habit formation, and there are various techniques that you can use. You know, one of the common ones is to, when the individual lacks that sense of discipline and accountability, you build it in by sharing your goal and your commitment with one or more other people in such a way that they are going to help you stay accountable. It may take the form of having lunch or breakfast once a week with a habit partner, and then you have to reveal the degree to which you have stuck to your plan with that partner. I've committed myself to a weight loss program, and I was starting to slip last week, and I ended up with a doctor's appointment day before yesterday, and by golly, having to go to the doctor once a month is a similar form of accountability. I'm now recharged, I redoubled my efforts, and I'm back on the plan. And it may be next month when I go see the doctor, I may slide a little bit before I go to see him, but when I get a good hit of having to pay to see the doctor and be accountable to him and et cetera, I get back on the plan. So I may do a little backsliding, but on the long term, I hope to stay with the plan. There are a lot of people, Tracy, that use the Internet as a support group for trying new habits. Nike and other sports manufacturers, for example, have all kinds of applications that you can use to record your exercise, your diet and whatnot, and you can choose to share that with other people and they can support you. There is a section in both books, both the Happiness book and the Brain book, that list what some of those applications are.
Well, listen, we're talking with Dr. Pierce Howard, and he is the author of the Owner's Manual for the Brain, and it's a very, very in-depth reading. I'm a little geeky, I'm a little weird. So I read weird books. I don't read novels. That's just not who I am.
This isn't a weird book. This is a good book.
It is very good, but it helps. It's a self-help book. It really, really is. And when you're trying to get along with people, when you're trying to better yourself, you need to read books that are going to refine you. And just because you're not in school does not mean that you don't need to be refined. So you need to take a look at this book. You can find it at Amazon.com. Tell us where your blog is, Dr. Pierce.
My blog, if you want to, you can just simply Google Pierce Howard's blog, and you'll find it. That's the name of my blog, Pierce Howard's blog. And it's a WordPress blog, so it's piercehoward.wordpress.com.
Keep calm and achieve your goals. That was that was the last blog that he actually. It's pretty good helpful hints for trying
to get some things done. Tracy, the last blog had an interesting history. It's called Goals for Grays, and I did a presentation for a group of retired people several weeks ago. And an 80-some-year-old woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, Dr. Howard, she said, I understand what you meant about the importance of having goals and making progress towards them in terms of feeling content with life. Because, you know, making progress towards goals is one of the top five things that you can do that will keep you feeling that sense of well-being. It feels good to make progress towards goals, whether it's building a piece of furniture or writing a book or building a house at the lake or whatever it is. And so she said to me, she said, I'm 85 years old, my husband died recently, and I don't feel like I've got anything to live for. Said, how can I benefit from your observation about making progress towards goals? So I said, well, I'm going to answer that question by writing a blog that goes into detail. And so what I listed in my most recent blog called Goals for Grays is goals that are natural for retired people, for people that aren't working full-time, what are some goals that make sense for the gray years of life? And it's like two pages full of suggestions for seniors in terms of making and establishing goals. And does that make sense
Hello?
To you?
That makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, I'm here.
That makes sense. I've been looking at your blog. I've been looking you up. I started following you on Twitter, and you're out there everywhere. And those are helpful hints and nuggets of wisdom that we may or may not pay attention to. And I want to thank you for taking time to come on with me.
Thank you, Tracy. My pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you here. And if we can ever do anything for you, please let us know, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So the book is, so I can get this right, because you guys know I will mess it up. Hold on. I'm stuck. Okay, give me the name of the book because I can't find it.
It's The Owner's Manual for the Brain, fourth edition.
And it is by Dr. Pierce J. Howard. And you can find his blog at, Google Pierce Howard's blog, and it'll come up. Good helpful hints, and then you can follow him on Twitter. I'm quite sure he has some good helpful hints along the way. Thank you again. We appreciate it. I've got to go to my break. You're listening to here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I need to archive emails to comply with business regulations.
Do you have an IT guy to help search through thousands of PSD files?
No.
Got time to install a complicated product or create detailed reports?
No.
You okay paying storage fees to save duplicate emails and images?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Message Archiver lets you store and find emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instance storage will save you time and money. And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human. Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. If anybody sees Pharrell Williams, let him know that Tracy owes him some money as soon as she makes it. the number is 347-945-5229. And today is May, the 1st of May, and it is the National Day of Prayer. So please say a prayer for your country today. Say a prayer for your family and your workplace, for those that you have that have power over you, and for your life in general. Today's National Day of Prayer. And I've got Stanley's on the phone, Eric's on the phone, South Carolina's there, and Pianki's there. Pianki, when you see Diva, you owe her an apology. I went back and took a listen to what you said. You owe Diva an apology, just so that you know that. And the number is 347-945-5229. Mark Mangi's in studio with me. It's the first Thursday in May.
I'm inspired by your last guest. That was terrific.
It is. He really. It's a book that I have. You don't read it from cover to cover, but you find the areas that you find necessary, and you go and pull it out, and it gives you some little nuggets of, I think I'm going to apply that. I think I'm going to try that too. It talks about exercise. It talks about happiness. It talks about, like I said, memory. It talks about repetitiveness. It talks about habits. I mean, Mark came in here and you looked at me and said, what is that? It's just that's it.
Yeah, and what he described to me, that there are people who one out of nine are terminally happy.
I'm one of those.
You know, I just get some people you want to say, you know, I've had a really long day and I'm half drunk, and thank you for not being perky.
I'm happy.
You're not perky, though.
I have my days.
You have perky days? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How do you think I get through the life? Life, I have to.
Well, you got to have a good sense of humor to get through life today. I tell you, it's they're always pulling all sorts of surprises.
The number 347-945-5229.
I saw a blue sky out there. Looking out the window, there was some blue sky. I'm so
no,
excited.
No, that's not a blue sky, Mark.
It's not a blue sky.
That's not blue skies.
The sun's out.
No, the sun's not out. That's just a glimpse of your imagination. I'm not giving up the song just because you think you see it. I think everybody's trying to get me to find the sun out. So he's trying to look for the sun. Found out today that the China has now surpassed America as the world's largest economy.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Is it really? Or was it inevitable the way things are going?
Well, let's put it to you this way. There's 3,500 million Americans, and there's like a billion and a half Chinese. Of course their economy is going to be the largest economy by definition.
Listen to this, Mark. And this is a, remember, we do, I don't know how many businesses that there are over in China. And everybody, your mics are on, so you know that. You have, when you go to China, General Motors China,
yes,
is 51% Chinese.
Yes.
49% General Motors.
Yes.
There is no company that is in China that does not have a 51% ownership stake.
I know that.
No foreign company can be in China and be a majority holder.
Yes.
You have to really, I want to say that.
Well, they're communist.
We know. We know that. And that's what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, how could you not surpass us when you have a good bulk of our companies over there and you own 51% of them? That's what I'm trying to say.
You got to admire their moxie and able to pull that off.
So you take your business, and so it's like me coming to your house, taking your recipes and all of your production.
Yeah.
Telling you I now own 51% of it, leaving it on my land, and then letting you do whatever you want with the 49 that you have, which doesn't make a bit of sense.
You know, I'm the kind of person that admires, even though if it's wrong,
it's
you
wrong.
Admire what they do because they got away with it. I went through a political campaign a year or two ago here. I hated the person that was running against the candidate that I supported. And yet I watched how he ran his campaign. You've got to admire him because he ran a heck of a campaign. Same with the Chinese. I don't agree with what they do. But they're able to get away with it. And you just go, wow.
Well, Tracy.
Why can't we do that?
We can, but we choose not to.
We choose not to.
It's easy to get away with it and do it if you have such control over your constituency and over your people. Right now, I do know that they're having some issues right now with some strikes because, you know, the people are wanting a higher, quote-unquote, higher minimum wage. I wonder where that came from.
and you look at the size of, you look at the size of China compared to the U.S. If we have 335 million people and they got a billion, they probably got about 300 million soldiers, too.
No comment. And they own most of our debt. So tell me, what are we doing?
The Federal Reserve owns most of our debt.
The Chinese own about 8% of American debt. It's not the majority. It's a large amount, but it's about 8%.
Well, 8% is not big.
That's a lot of money.
So what happens if they call us on it?
I think it's the old story. If you owe the bank $1,000, the bank owns you. If you owe the bank $1 million, you own the bank. I mean, it actually gives us leverage with them. That money flow is always interesting. I think the balance of trade figures and the debt figures tend to be a little bit misleading. On their face, they look bad. If you get past the look at the more details, it's not as onerous as you may think. But you got to admire them. They know how to do it, and we need to know how to do it.
So learn
from your competitors. You don't run and hide.
What do you mean, learn? What do you mean? We need to learn how to do it. We're doing it right, aren't we?
In order for us to do what the Chinese have done, we would have to step on all the freedom and liberties of our folks here in the United States, and the Constitution is out the window. They got the full backing of their government.
Well, I don't mean doing it in the sense what they do to our people. My comments are more geared as to foreign trade relations and how we deal with the Chinese companies here, and how we handle the business arrangements between us and them. It just seems to me, at least what I learned in school, is that when you have these kinds, when you have a capitalist economy, dictatorships do not really go with capitalist economies, because there's going to come a point in time where the interest of the corporation differs from the interest of the dictator. So you have a dictatorship of a political party over there, and I think just by necessity they're becoming more and more democratic. If I were the American labor unions, I'd be over there trying to organize those people left and right. That's what they should be doing.
I think it would behoove the Chinese to start respecting copyright laws. I think that they have a F-150 truck over there that looks the spitting image. They took it, and Ford's afraid to say something to the Chinese. I mean, it's bad for companies all around the world when you create something and they just take it. Like, they're going to have to do something, but they don't. Sooner or later, other nations are going to start pulling out. I mean, you can't, because they can't just, right now it's a lot of untapped potential. Soon as they start saturating and everybody kind of saturated the market, it's not going to benefit them to just not respect people's copyright laws. Eventually, they're going to have to do something, because they're very bad. They don't care. You can make something, they'll take it. They have no problem being uncreative and just spilling an idea. They just have no morals when it comes to that.
You hit it right on the head. You're exactly right. American business, the Italian word that I like to use is paud. It means they're kind of shaking in their shoes all the time that they're going to lose the market over there if they stand up to these guys. The American companies and the American government's got to grow a pair and go over there and stand up to these guys. And you're exactly right. You know, we're still, you know, the most dynamic economy in the world. They're going to surpass us in I think, you know, overall the size of their economy. But that's going to happen because of the population, whether we like it or not. I don't lose sleep over that. But we need to take care of the very problems you're talking about. Enforce our copyright laws, enforce our patent laws. And we can demand so GM's not going to be able to sell as many Buicks over there. They're not going to do that. We need to stand up to these people.
Well, if the Chinese enforce our copyright laws, that'll actually force them to have to compete fairly, because then they will have to actually create something, and they don't think they can. So that's really what it boils down to.
The currency. The currency manipulation is horrible. And I have to give Obama credit, because of all the presidents that I've been cognizant of this, I think Obama probably did more on that particular issue. But that has fallen by the wayside the last year or two. They're going right back to what they were doing before. And that's bad. You cannot manipulate the currency and participate in the world economy, because they built their economy on exports rather than internal growth, and that allows them to do, and it directly takes our jobs when they do that sort of thing.
Hey, Alex, your mic is on. South Carolina, your mic is on also. Alex is working, but just so that you know. What'd you say?
Well, I agree exactly what Mark says. I mean, you know, currency manipulation, when you can do things to your currency to make it more expensive for our goods to be bought over there, then they have a distinct advantage. I mean, and the government is complicit in that, or the Chinese government.
And, yeah, that's what communism does. It's just, that's what they do. They steal people's ideas. They manipulate currency for power.
So when do we?
Well, I tell you what, those more so than China. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but the Russian ambassador or Russian, he's somewhere, and he's in power over there somewhere, just told the U.S. maybe we need to go and, you know, jump on a trampoline to get back to space.
Yeah, I saw that. They showed the trampoline bear this morning on television.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen that in a couple of years. Shepard Smith ran that all the time.
But that's what we get for giving our
space program away.
Right? Why do we do? Why would you do? I mean, the race to the moon was the biggest thing that's, you know, exploration in the '60s, and it was against Russia, and we wanted to win. Now that we won, we said, well, we were the first, so now you can have it.
That's what I would have to say. That he has a problem. In order to do that, you have to have a disdain for the country. That's why I think he may have actually. There's something to that. That's more personal. There's no way you're supposed to give up NASA. Now, that was real stupid. That wasn't just stupid. was like, you can only do that if you have something against the country. And maybe he does. But that part of it, I have to say, maybe he does hate America. If you're going to do that, then you really don't understand either. Don't understand why America is what it is. Because NASA gave us a lot of our inventions, a lot of what makes America the world leader in a lot of things comes from NASA. And you're going to give that away?
A lot of people I grew up with went into the math and science field, including myself, because watching that space shuttle land and take off, that was like, wow. I could not believe that we, as a country, did that.
Well, those are ideological issues with this guy, and he's doing the same thing with the internet. They're making a move to give away the relationship between the corporation that governs the domain names, which in effect care of who gets what. And give it to the United Nations. This is the United Nations that just put Iran on the civil on the Human Rights Commission. There,
why wouldn't Iran be on the Human Rights Commission?
I am floored. I who comes up with this stuff? It's like they have an agenda. This Obama's agenda was to make the world less America centric, and this is how he's doing it. This is what he believes. Elections have consequences, and this is what the consequences are.
But let me say this. This is what he believes, but no one questions him on it. I mean, seriously, no one. We look at where the country is going and how we disagree with it and how we just don't understand it. But we allow them to get away with it. Yet Donald Sterling is a sports person. He's an entertainment person. He doesn't. I mean, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not slighting the comments that he made, but the uproar for accountability happens within days. But the person who controls the free world, you don't hold accountable at all.
I was selective, Tracy, in our outrage because I was watching that Shaws of Iran show or whatever it is, and they actually, Shaws of Sunset or whatever it's called, and they actually have one of the people on there that's half black. And one of the guys in his confessional was like, well, I don't like him because, I mean, he's half black and, we don't like, as if him being half black makes him unlikable. They actually said there's not, I didn't see people get that show kicked off the air. I hate this. I hadn't watched it since that day. But just the fact that you come over to a country where the people that you're talking about, the only reason you are allowed to even be on Sunset is because of black people. But you want to, he's half black. And it's like, I can't stand that.
Let me say this. He's half black. Yes, that's true. You might be prejudiced. I can understand that, too. You might have a problem with how people treat him because of the color of his skin. But the bottom line is, when you start doing things that's going to affect my future, no matter what color you might be, even if I love who you are, I got into a conversation with some people that I love recently because they told me that I could not do what I wanted to do. And as much as I love them, I'm just not going to let you walk all over me because of the love that I have for you. You just can't do what you want to do because you want to do it. What kind of mess is that?
Well, Tracy, check out the double standard. This cat from—I don't know where he's from, but he's a Thompson representative, congressman from someplace. On CNN, 6-minute interview, berating Clarence Thomas, calling him an Uncle Tom, and
you saw that too, huh?
Nobody says anything. Yeah, that was very disturbing to me.
When does a congressman come out and call another Congress Supreme Court Justice Uncle Tom, and with the title? I mean, how does that work? Freedom of speech, right?
Freedom of speech.
In 2014, In 2014,
nobody's
that's
calling for his
so bad
resignation. They didn't find him $2.5 million.
We need to go back to, I don't know about duels, but we need to start and say, hey, man, meet me outside. We'll see what's up for real. Like, maybe some people need to start and whoop to sleep, and we'll probably get somewhere. Because I'm just saying.
You can't be beaten.
If I was on the show, and Bill O'Reilly or Chris Matthews, they say he's 6'5", I don't care. We're going to see what's up. That's the thing. Like, these people get away with murder because we call it presidential. That's the worst thing, or that you're not being civilized by sitting there and let them insult you. Now, look, I may disagree with some things, but at the same time, I think it's okay for us as Americans to show emotion and show we're human. I think sometimes politicians have to be so fake and phony, and I don't know where that came from, but you can't be that stoic to where you can't show passion and emotion or you're not electable because you can't you show that you disagree with someone with passion. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. You look out throughout history, man. Some of the older debates, like back in the 1800s and those talk about some nasty campaigns.
Yeah, they were mean.
Well, what we're looking at, what we're seeing in this country today, and I think what people are feeling today is the lack of a common culture and a common core set of values that this country has, for the most part, had over its lifetime up until about maybe 10 years ago when they kind of started to fall by the wayside. You know, you just reach the end of some of these kooky ideas that pop around. My wife would always say the craziest person in the room is calling the shots. It's kind of where we're at right now. You know, the story that popped out at me, and you know, with all the horrible stuff that's going on in the world, the story that popped out at me this last night was Minneapolis, which decided to not celebrate Columbus Day. They're celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. What? What? This is what they're worried about? This is what they're worried about? Identity politics
Indigenous
has got to stop. This is crazy.
Indigenous
you know, I mean, why do we celebrate? Hold on. Why do we celebrate Columbus Day, though? I mean, truthfully. Let's look at that. I mean, what did he do?
He managed to con the king and queen of Portugal into giving them boats to come over to sail west and see what he could find. You know, I think everybody knows he didn't discover America. There are people coming from all over were coming up on our shores for hundreds of years before he did. But you know, he certainly made the impact in Western Europe and. So, you know, he did that, and he went back home.
I mean, no, he basically signaled the wealth, basically ensured a lot of wealth to be generated from taking free labor from Africa and using it to extract it from North and South America. I mean, so why should we celebrate? That's what he did. That's what
he did.
I mean, there's nothing really good about this dude. Like, I'm sorry.
But now, hold on, Alabama.
I'm Italian.
Okay.
And this is the Italian Identity Day. It's Columbus Day. And, I have to be careful that I'm not offended by people dissing my guy. we all have feelings, and Italians have feelings, too.
Yes, when? But I said that out loud, huh?
Yeah, you said that out loud.
Oh. They have feelings. Don't cross them.
You know, the Italians, you know, the Irish come out on St. Patrick's Day. The Italians come out on Columbus Day.
Okay.
We don't care what he did. He's our guy.
He's our guy.
Look, go ahead and party. Do what you do, but I'm just saying, don't get upset if the rest of the country. I mean, it just signals a lot of destruction, murder. It's nothing good
anyway. It's not like you're celebrating Christmas. It's not that big of a day anyway. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I think he's in the studio. When I hear people talk about Columbus Day, I'm just like, I don't know why this is even a national holiday. I really don't see the reason.
It's not that big. It's not that big. I don't even know what day it is anyway.
That's what I'm saying. And then you start looking. I'm like, there were human beings here, not hundreds of years, thousands of years before he even got here. So I'm just sitting like, what are we talking about? Like,
Where
people actually built people, not animals, people, human beings built this stuff.
Right.
And so what did he bring? But say, hey, guys, we could come over here and rob and pillage. And that's what they did and killed everybody and took the gold. And I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Now, if you want to say, okay, they established America. Hold on. you want to say we established America and things like that, I might halfway hear you, halfway. But even America was just a bunch of trees and sticks. Then they used free labor from Africa to build it. So I'm just saying everything that they try to say, I understand why some people don't want to celebrate 4th of July. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, you know, Columbus came here in 1492, right?
Yep.
It was another almost, 150 years before any black person ever got here? Oh, come on, man. You can blame
No, that's not true. The first, the first black person, his name is Esteban Nico, that they will admit that was here. And then on top of that, hold on. You got to know your history. Hold on, South Carolina. Esteban Nico was more, but let's go back before that. Okay, if you look at the people of Tasmania, the tribes in that culture, and if you go look at the people in South Africa, they have the South America, they have the same tribe, the same local Indians had the same tribes and culture, and they were driven to the southernmost tip, and we've seen pictures of these people, and they're dark-skinned just like black people. So, no.
Who cares?
No. So
who cares?
Every time I bring you some real stuff, you say you don't care. You just, okay.
No, the thing is, you just said that the first black person didn't get into the 1600s.
Hold on, 150 years later, who was already slaves by then?
You're talking South America, man. You're talking about the tip of South America. I'm talking about the United States.
He didn't land, Christopher Columbus didn't land in the United States, bro. He landed in El Salvador. The savior, his body's buried in the Dominican Republic.
That's Central America.
No, Central, that's the Mediterranean, number one. Dominican Republic in the Caribbean, number one. And even still, what I'm saying is the New World, which is North and South America.
But what does that have to do with American slavery?
The New World could not have been colonized. If you don't understand that the New World could not have been colonized without free African labor, then it ain't nothing I can do for you, South Carolina. I'm sorry.
The New World could have been colonized. It would have been at a slower rate. But what I'm saying is, what we're trying to do is put the whole entire, you know, growth of South America
Brazil. Brazil had more African people outside of the continent than anybody. Number one, so there's a very more substantial case for South America, but in Colombia, that's the second most. We're third. Number. So we got the third most black people in the world outside of Africa. America does. Our population has been kept out. The thing is, South Carolina, you can't just speak without having understood and read and looked this stuff. Don't just speak. Just who cares? Understand you want to go out and make your money and do what you do.
Hey,
and I'm all for you doing it as a black man. But don't just
Alabama,
sit up here and
to,
just.
Look, Alabama, let me explain something to you, okay? So we can get this straight, all right? The color of my skin does not dictate who I am. I am a man. Now let's get that straight so you understand where I'm coming from.
As
long as you choose to segregate yourself and say that because I'm black, I am privileged, or because I'm black, I'm special, I don't negate the history that we have in this country, but I do understand that in order for me to be successful economically, I better get the hell away from the fact that I'm black, so therefore I got to do this, I got to create this culture, I got to do this, do that. I'm a man. Period.
Okay,
man,
South Carolina.
I got to do the things.
South Carolina.
I got to do the things that I'm supposed to do. In
South
order
Carolina,
to
you making the point. The point take 30 minutes to get out. I heard you. You could have said that in one sentence. Number one, number two. The point I'm trying to make is, who started? No, South Carolina. You don't want to hear truth. I sat up here and told you. I sat up here and told you something. You spoke ignorantly. I tried to enlighten you, and you got upset. Do not speak in ignorance. That's all I'm saying. So I try to tell you
something
that's factual. South Carolina, I don't care. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Don't get upset when you talk about we didn't get into it. That's the thing. You don't know your own history. You don't know who you are. I'm not saying, look, I'm a conservative too, but I ain't stupid. I still know what happened.
I don't know.
Nobody care about you getting upset. I'm just saying.
I don't care.
You speak ignorant. You speak
spoke ignorantly. You said we can get into the 1600s, and then when I correct you, no, I didn't say you're ignorant. I said you spoke ignorantly. You spoke without knowing, and then when I try to correct you, they say, well, no, that has an effect on the whole South. I said Christopher Columbus has an effect on the whole world because that was the discovery of the New World, and all of the European nations started coming here, and they used free labor. They tried Indians at first. It didn't work as well because they fought back, but they were able to get Africans because Africans would freely sell their captives, and that's how they were able to come over. Now, did I say that Andrew Carnegie and Rockefeller didn't do what they did? No, I didn't say that. You assume, number one, that I said something that I never even thought. I didn't tell you that these guys didn't take risks and invest and do what they did, but let's not act like a lot of what made America had to do with free slave labor. This is part of history.
Listen.
So don't get upset with me now. And just because I'm trying to remind you of that, hold on, I sat there listening to you, man.
Be mad enough
to listen to me.
Can you
now, if I sit up there and try to bring some facts to you, then don't get upset and get emotional.
I'm hearing from you is South Carolina. I understand the other part that he's saying that yes, we need to acknowledge as black people that we were that slavery happened and things like that, but we used to not use that as an excuse. But we need to still remember those things and not put it aside and say it didn't happen. That I disagree with. I hear black people say, well, you know, we should put it up. Wait a minute. Every year, Jewish are reminding us what happened to them. And when it comes to black people, we're just supposed to forget. I'm sorry. If all black people would have been as mad as you and basically decided to say, you know what, we're going to turn on the white people and do exactly to them what they did to you, all hell would have broke loose in America. So let's not act like those things didn't happen. And let's not act like when we put it to white people or any race and say, we got, you did the worst slavery possible to us,
Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Also,
weekdays
from
9 to noon.
The
show
that
stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 11 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, and it's an open mic. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. We'll talk about what you want to talk about, have a great conversation with you. I think that's Eric making all that noise in there. Nope, that's not Eric. It might be South Carolina. That was Alabama. 314, your mic is on. Mark Mangi's in studio with me, and I want to thank Dr. Pierce Howard for coming on and hanging out with us this morning. We were talking about trade and the debt crisis and what's going on. Earlier we talked about Benghazi. We've talked about Donald Sterling and his comments. We've done that for the week. And I just don't think we are quite wrapping ourselves around or thinking things through. I think we make emotional decisions in America. And even though you have right intentions with your emotional decisions, they're not always the best thought out decision. And with that said, I'm going to ask South Carolina, what did you guys talk about during the break?
I didn't talk about much or nothing, Tracy, because I didn't get a chance to say too much. I was being lectured by Alabama.
Stanley? Oh, Alabama was lecturing you?
No, basically Alabama was saying we shouldn't celebrate the Columbine Days and things like that because, you know, he was basically putting the point of slavery and things like that. And I guess one of the two was basically saying we have to stop talking about slavery and everything. And Alabama was like, why should we? And basically he was saying, like, we should maybe not use slavery as an excuse, but we should never forget what happened. And if we do bring it up, we should not act like it didn't happen. And I do agree with that.
But I think we ought to overcome slavery. And when I say overcome, you use it as a stepping stone for greatness.
Yes.
Slavery, Jim Crow, I think we ought to garner all the strength from what has happened in our past, learn from it, and then push forward to become better than it. Because the best way to destroy a man is to prove to him what he thought you were, you are not. The same, I go back to Donald Sterling. If you really wanted to hurt him, and if you really, and see, the NBA is looking out for their best interest. But they're not looking out for the interest in, correct. They're not looking out for the best interest in what they've done. If you want to hurt a man, you take what he has. That's why they have punitive damages, and you see them award people some crazy amounts of money.
And I find it, I find it funny that the NAACP is willing to forgive him when he hasn't actually apologized.
He didn't ask for forgiveness. And so we
tickled by anything.
That's what I'm saying. When I look at this, as I said earlier, you know, you look at if you don't. Christopher Columbus Day. Okay, banks get a day off. You can call it what you want. But I don't celebrate Christopher Columbus Day. It's no biggie for me, and so it doesn't make me any difference what you call it. It's just another day. But Martin Luther King Day, if you want to celebrate his birth and you want to have a day off, that day should be a productive working day. And what you should be doing is you should be actually meeting and garnering and supporting and finding ways to make the civil rights legislation and the life that this man fought for through economic development, through equal rights, through integration, how to make it better, how to make it right, through education and through programming. Today's National Day of Prayer. National Day of Prayer should be more than just standing downtown in the middle of every square in America singing a kumbaya if you're not going to live it the other 365 days of the year. That's just according to Tracy. You know, when I look at Donald Sterling, if you want to slap him, then you decrease the value of his product. You don't go and reward him with a $680 million payday. That's not how you reward somebody. That's not how you do this. And what we're doing is we're doing this wrong. He didn't ask for an apology. He hasn't said a word. He don't care. So you make him care. And we haven't learned how to do this. I look at Don Imus, and everybody was up in arms when he called the Rutgers basketball team nappy-headed hoes. Oh my God! And we're gonna make him lose his contract. We want him off the air. Take him off of television. Take him off of this. Take him off of that. Well, guess what? CBS had to pay him his full contract. He's back on the radio again. So what did you really do? You're not fixing the solution. All you're doing is rewarding people that you say that you don't like. That's a problem. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And until we learn how to solve a problem and make people respect you, not fear you, what you've done is the way that they've solved this problem out in Los Angeles, what you've done is you've made people fear you. You don't want people to be afraid of you. You want them to respect you. Respect, you don't have to like me. You can hate all the black people in the world. You can hate me, but I demand respect. And let me tell you why. You're going to have to respect me. I don't care if you don't like me. You can say what you want to say about me behind my back. But you respect me enough not to say it to my face. That's how you win. If Donald Sterling is a bigot, he could be the biggest bigot in the world. The way that you get him and you slap him into order is you make him demand respect for you, not to fear you. And I don't know if we'll ever learn that. America used to be feared. Now we just wanted a people. We just wanted another country going down. So the number is 347-945-5229. I want everybody to – my rant and my tirade is over, but I just want us to understand. You don't want people to fear you.
My grandmother used to say, if you got somebody's afraid of you, you better be careful because they will hurt you.
Absolutely. They will hurt you. They will ignore you. They will run away from you. But the last thing they will do is respect you because fear does not breed respect. And we're turned into a nation where people fear other people. You don't fear people. You want respect from people. I don't want a man to fear me. I want him to respect me. He's afraid to say something to me. Why can't he just respect me enough that he would never say anything that would be disrespectful to me?
But at the same time, hold on,
Stanley. Go ahead, Eric. You were first.
But at the same time, why would you even be afraid of somebody that's going to, if you talk bad about them, they're going to give you $700 million payday? I mean.
He has no respect for you still. You're going to give me money and you're not even going to buy my respect with my $700 million that I'm going to get from you.
Yeah, I don't fear you or respect you at that point.
So why do we allow it?
And,
go ahead, Stanley.
I'm sorry. When you're saying as a woman, I'm sorry, respect has to be earned. It's not because you're just a woman that necessarily you're going
to
get my respect.
Sweetheart, you missed the point. Stanley, you went too far. To earn respect, to give respect is to earn respect. You don't get it without earning it. You missed my – I'm not saying you're supposed to respect everybody walking down the street. That's not what I said. But I said for a woman. I'm not looking for you to fear me. I'm looking for you to respect me. You don't even have to like me, but you got to respect who I am. And to get respect, you've got to give it.
Tracy.
Yes.
I thought you had me muted. I really, this is the thing. I'm conservative and all, but I just got a question. Why is it if I study history of what has been done and what has been done in this country, up until this point, to where if you look at black people today, you'll say, well, why are we where we are? Why are we not as like every other race in this country? And then when I come and bring those points, I get accused of hate. I never said I hate. There are good white people out there. I go ahead and say that. There are. There are a lot of them. Most of them just want to get their check, go home, and mind their business. I'm not saying that. But to say that there hasn't been a certain system or things haven't been done in this country by certain individuals who are white, who were racist, where others can benefit and others themselves couldn't, when I say that, I'm accused of hate. As if I don't have the self-control to say, I see this, but I don't hate Blind Mike. I don't hate South Carolina. I don't hate this guy. I just look at it like, well, this is what's been done. When I hear someone say, you know, you guys are just lazy. You guys, and we get that. And we get, when I talk about reparations and I hear people say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it, I'm not saying you had something to do with it, but you did benefit from it. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that. So it's like, I don't know, man. It just seems like I get accused of hatred, like South Carolina said, and I'm just sitting like, what did I do to say? The facts are the facts. I can just, all I got to do is read this
because,
stuff to you and let
because,
you look at it.
Because Alabama, because of the, you have to understand, it may not be you. We have allowed people to misinterpret what we mean when a lot of us say reparations. You and I disagree completely on what I think we should have for reparations. But with that said, we've allowed a lot of people.
I don't think we disagree. I have never said give people a check. I said start businesses. That's what I said. I didn't say give people a check.
Listen to what I'm saying. We still disagree on because I don't think it's about money. And when I say that, because a lot of people really, 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 they have attained the word reparations. They've tainted the system of affirmative action. Affirmative action was not a bad thing. It was executed very, very poorly by a system set up to make it fail. But affirmative action should not come out to be a bad thing. But we've turned it into a bad thing because of bad execution. Reparations is not a bad thing, but we've allowed for it to become a bad thing and a bad term just based upon other people's misinterpretation of what needs to happen.
Yeah, there were underlying problems that they weren't solved. If they would have been solved, affirmative action would have went a lot further.
Correct.
I think.
Correct.
I mean,
when you put quota systems in and the quota systems have no merit, and then you allow major companies to use the quota system to their benefit and it still not be beneficial to the bottom line, you have a problem. Remember, go ahead, Eric.
In colleges, you know, you had these kids coming from these underperforming school districts being put in this quota system, and then, you know, that's a hornet's nest right there.
It should not have been allowed.
But Tracy, if you look at any guy, like I could take a guy with a high school diploma. If I take him and I take every penny he makes from the time he's born to the time he dies, if I could take that and put that in my pocket, that's very powerful. And if you got 8 to 10 or 40 or 100 of these people, there's a lot of wealth generated from that. All I'm talking about when I say reparations is all of the money. Where is the wealth that was generated?
We're not talking about Twitter. It's not about you. This is not about you. This is the overall. I'm not using you as an example. It's not about you personally. It's about just a collective being. Remember, we are looked at in stereo in a lot of ways. And because we're looked at in stereo, a lot of times we have allowed people to use our imaging in a negative manner. I was listening to J.J. From Good Times. What was his name? What was J.J.'s name in Good Times? His real name.
Oh, jeez. My mind.
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker
was with Arsenio Hall the other night. And Jimmy Walker was talking about what they did while he was on and how they demonized Good Times to the point where you did not see another black sitcom until The Cosby Show came on. And that because we don't understand how the system works, because remember, people who do television and radio, it's all about money. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. And so if you're doing comedy, if you're doing a sitcom and it's comedy, somebody's got to be the fall guy. Somebody's got to be the buffoon, whether you like it or not. So when you put a black man into a situation, you make him the buffoon because it's a black comedy and we all sit up and complain about it, they take it off. So you didn't get another sitcom until The Cosby Show came on, and when The Cosby Show came on, we hated that because we said, well, there are no black people who are a lawyer and a doctor in a house that has five kids.
And I remember there was an episode that covered that issue on the show.
Absolutely. And so we wonder why we don't get what we want. We don't get what we want because we allow people to speak for us who are not speaking on behalf of us. And when they make so much chatter, they just ignore us because now they fear us. And fear is not any way to do business. You do not walk into a business room walking in fear. You walk in there into due respect. And if I respect you and you respect me, we'll get things accomplished. But if I fear you, you're going to come up slighted, whether you know it or not. And that's how we've been operating inside of our own communities. And that's why we don't have anything.
Yeah.
You don't even negotiate from a place of fear. Nor desperation. And we've got to cut that out if you're going to be successful. So when you look at all these days that we have, you know, violent, you know, all these crazy days, find a way, you know, Columbus Day. Who cares if he – we know that he didn't discover America. How can you discover America and be here and people be here when you get here and say you own it? But as Mark and I, we were saying during the break, what they did was they outwitted, they outcrafted, and business is not fair. Somebody loses in most business deals. And right now, when I look at the black community, they're still losing. So with all this said, Magic Johnson's going to pick up a team, but what's it going to do for anybody else who feels the way that Donald what's his name, Donald, what's his name, Sterling?
Sterling.
Feels? All it's going to do is make him keep his thoughts on the inside and make sure he has no one else around him that looks like you because he's in fear of you. It's not going to make him respect you anymore. And you can't buy respect. You got to earn it.
Yeah, you're doing the same. You can't play on my swing set anymore. Big deal.
Well, so what? I made my money. I'm geared to retire and die anyhow. It won't make a difference. And I still don't respect you, nor have I changed the mindset of anyone who feels like me. Am I lying? I'm just being honest with this, and I think people need to understand that. Taking your sandbox, all you got to do is he can go create his own sandbox. He got enough money that he can go buy grains of sand made out of marble. It won't make a difference. And if we don't do things better, we lose. If you really want to tame him, what you do is you make it to where he loses. You make it to where people look back and say, you know what? They got me. They got me on this one. Like Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban does a good job at it. He's a crafty guy. Everything he touches turns to gold. Why is that? Because folks respect him. Everybody wants to do business with Mark Cuban. Everybody wants to do business with Google. Everybody wants to do business with Steve Jobs. Why? Because we respect him. Hey, the number again is 347-945-5210. I got Mark Mangi in studio. What are you over there doing, Mark?
I'm listening to you.
Don't listen to me.
Why?
Come.
You make good sense.
I'm nutty. I'm just trying to get it to where I can join a private country club and play golf.
That sounds like fun. We ought to do that.
What?
Join a private country club and play golf.
Do you play golf, Mark?
No, I don't.
You are special.
My father tried. It just didn't work. Didn't take.
Now, your son plays golf.
Yes, he does.
Okay, because I'm going out with him. I got my clubs. I look really cute on the golf course.
Well, that's half the battle is looking cute on the golf course.
I look cute on the golf course.
Just remember, it's not how you feel. It's how you look.
Then I'm in business.
And you look marvelous.
Love you, Mark. Love you.
Sheila, I got to tell you, folks, Tracy's looking good today.
That's because I've been working out. I'm going to the gym tonight. I'll be out at Fit Family. I've been trying to take care of myself. I've been trying to somewhat eat right, cut back on the sugar. I'm getting ready. I just had my snack. I got to go have my lunch pretty soon. and trying to make a difference.
I need to go do something. Although I've taken off a couple pounds, which is nice, but, you know.
I'm not taking off a whole lot of pounds, but I'm taking off some inches along the way. I'm toning.
You need inches.
I'm toning. My slab is leaving,
yeah,
which is good.
I'm going up and down the steps now.
I'm running. I'm doing.
You got
good.
The treadmill. You do the treadmill thing.
I do the treadmill thing. I do okay on the treadmill as long as I have my headset on.
Yeah.
No headset, no music. I can't read and walk on a treadmill. I can't do that yet. I'm not that good. Hey, Alabama, your mic is on, and so is your South Carolina Eric Stanley, and I think that's Pianchi. Oh, and Digital Madness, thank you so much.
I'm very glad that you're making an example on that, because, like, the other time, I think it was 2 days ago when you said, well, 3 days ago when you said what's happening with our health, like I said back there, we don't care about our health. And it's an example like you that's basically bringing back to people that they need to take care of their health. If you don't even take care of your own health, what does it say about you?
Let me say this, but this is the issue. Everybody has to get to their point where they will embrace a better living. And you change that by the people that you're around. If you're around people who are always eating pasta and you like eating pasta and all we do is sit around and gossip and eat pasta, I promise you I will go back to eating pasta and sitting around and not exercising and reading pasta. But when you start hanging out with people and everybody's exercising but you, you tend to birds of a feather flock together. How you going to do? Everybody walking but you?
I look at what some people eat, and I wonder how they get away with it. And in all seriousness, I sometimes I get down on myself because, I like carbs.
I like carbs. Carbs
but
are good.
I can't eat fried food. Mm-hmm. I don't sit and eat tons of sweets. I don't drink soda pop. I you go out to some of these restaurants, you look at what they're putting on their plate, what they're having for breakfast and lunch. Oh my Lord, how do they
the metabolism? And what I'm finding out is you have to boost your metabolism through exercise so that you will burn off what you're eating. And I think sometimes we've allowed our metabolism to become sedentary.
Yeah, well, my metabolism is going backwards.
Right. So, and as we get older, our metabolism changes. You know, some people eat whatever they want to eat, and they never gain a pound.
Well, that's the truth.
Some people, you know, they look at food and they gain, and they look it. But your metabolism really, and I think maybe when Dr. Matt comes on next week, we'll have to talk about metabolism.
Yeah.
Because it does change, and you need for your metabolism to be moving and burning. And you gotta strike a match and make a start.
Yeah, but I'm reading a great book that's talking about that, the end of dieting from Dr. Joel Furman. He basically is saying that the problem with us is we're not eating enough micronutrients food. That means like kale, collard, green. We're not eating that enough. We're eating too much meat, cheese, milk. We need to cut down to a very limited thing. We need to go back to fruit, vegetable, green leaf, and beans and things like nuts, seed, and we need to put that back to what it is. And meat and everything needs to be very low. Cheese needs to be very low. Milk needs to be very low. So can you imagine if we do that, how many the food industry would be against it?
But again, you've got to get to that point. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, Dr. Matt sits up and talks about eating, you know, healthy foods. Well, when you like a Snickers bar, if you've been eating a Snickers bar every day at 1 o'clock, it's kind of hard to go and say, okay, I'm going to change the carrots instead of a Snickers. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. But when you live in a society when you're saying things like, and I heard you said last week or everything, that obesity is okay, than being obese or being overweight.
No,
you could be overweight and healthy. That's not what we said,
Stanley. What we said was the BMI index.
Thick is fine.
Hold on. Thick, now, don't get me wrong. I'm always going to be thick. I will, because if I get thin, I look like I'm a crackhead.
And that's
it's just
where I
that simple. So
and that's
I'm
where I disagree, Tracy.
No, Stanley, Stanley, you don't. That's where you don't listen. The BMI chart is not made for ethnic people. That chart has they did not study African Americans and people that are ethnic inside of their study for the BMI chart. So what we're saying is, so the BMI chart and the weight chart that you see, and it says for my height at 5'7", I should be about 150 pounds. If I get down to 150 pounds, it may be good on the chart, but I am going to be a dead-looking son of a gun. It's just that simple.
Okay.
So now the question is, do I follow the chart or do I follow my health?
Okay, first of all, if we take out the BMR chart and the weight thing, if I take you and I bring you to a place where they do MRI and everything and they show you this is how much percentage of fat you have in your body and you have more than 30-40%, you're done.
Stanley,
I don't care if you're 200 pounds and everything.
You missed my point.
I'm not missing what your point
is.
Yes,
you are, because Larry Long, he calls in every now and then. We were talking about that the other day. Percentage of fat is different. And you want to be lean, and you want to have muscle, but you don't want to have weight, because weight, they tell me muscle weighs more than fat anyhow. But still, you have to. But being healthy and being of a good size is important. But you don't want to look, and you don't want to have a skeletal frame. I don't care how much muscle you have. And what they're doing is we're showing people who are at a size like, 2. And I'm talking about women.
Tracy, and if you get down to a certain size, body fat is like, let's just say 12, that's still healthy. That's within health range. When they say it's unhealthy, they're talking about 2%. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. If we take you and we put you in a size like he's saying, 12 to 20%, you're good. But if you're coming to me and say, well, I don't want to look at the BMI. Okay, we're not looking at the BMI, but I bring you to a place that shows you that you have 30-40%, and you're telling me, well, it's because of ethnicity. No, it's not. Your 30-40% is not good for your body, period.
But Stanley,
I'm sorry, there's a lot of people or black women who have 30-40%. It has nothing to do with BMI. It has nothing to do with BMI.
But we're not talking – Stanley, sweetheart, every time we talk, you have not heard me bring in any gimmicks in here. No diet, no crazy diets. This is about nutrition and healthy living. And healthy living and nutritious living comes with a mindset. And if you eat the right things and you become nutritious and you become exercised, you're going to lose the body fat automatically. It's automatically going to change your mindset. It's going to change your physique, and it's going to change your health and wellness. You, no matter what size you become, you will be healthy if you change your eating and your exercise. There's no way to get around it.
Yes, I agree with you. But if you come up already thinking that, I'm good for what I am, and you're 240 or 200 pounds, and we tell you you're not, you got to look at it.
You're going by your own personal. It ain't about. Listen, you're going by your own personal experiences and people around you. We're talking about true, healthy, quality of life living. Getting up in the morning, drinking water, making sure you have all the supplements that you need for your diet, making sure you're getting all your nutrients, making sure that you're getting all of the sunlight and the vitamin D that you need, going through life, making sure that you're eating the right things. And, I'm eating stuff with rice patties now instead of eating flour. You can't continue eating like that and not come up with something that's going to be a healthy weight. You can't work out 3 hours a day and come up, but you're not going to come down with your body fat and your muscle intensity is not going to grow. It doesn't work that way. And
yes,
so that's healthy. And don't get me wrong.
There are people
out there who will always have crazy looking ways of dieting. But just because you're thin and because you look thin does not mean that you don't have body fat and you're not unhealthy. There's a lot of thin, unhealthy people. 831, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy's redneck down here at Plumbing and County.
How you doing, Rick?
Ben left already.
How are the cows doing?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Ben left already.
Who? Ben's gone.
Did Ben leave already?
Yeah, Ben had to go to work.
Okay.
He said I don't pay him enough.
I was going to ask him. I don't know whether to vote for Stanley or Alabama for the president of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Boy, they seem to be really on the girls.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty tough, aren't they?
Yep.
They are pretty tough.
Hey guys,
but
not Tracy's fault. Her ancestors kicked your ancestors' butts, and you guys had to your ancestors had almost starved to death to keep her nice and thin and put in good form. It's not her fault. Hey, my ancestors on my mom's side used to kick butt, and that's why the women in that my mom's side of the family tend to have a bit, like Tracy, wider thighs than you have starved losers. I mean,
Stanley, it's a joke. Lighten up. It's the end of the day. It's a joke.
Stanley, seriously, dude, you're starting to sound like the chicks in some of the PSA ads where they say about, you know, your friend could have an eating disorder and you could help them and maybe save their life. It's getting spooky, dude.
Yeah, and it takes a lot for people to get to a certain place, and a lot of times, and I remember, I'm very, very blessed. I've got a lot of people around me. I got Dr. Brandy that deals with the clinical psychological needs that tapped into some things one-on-one, and I'm just being a little transparent, that dealt with why I was doing things that may have been detrimental to my own health. I got Dr. Mason who's dealing with some things that are redefining my nutritional supplements and what I'm doing, and I have access to it. I've got Doris and John Bullock over at Fit Family, and I'm going out there, and they're being patient with me. They're beating me up, and they're helping me reshape what I'm doing. So you gotta understand, I'm in a privileged place, and I brought these people here for you to call them. But I'm in a place where they're actually there for me, and I actually am beginning to utilize them. You know, I go out and I've gotten an adjustment in my neck and my back with Dr. Mason. I'm on a supplement plan for nutrition, so that I can be healthier. Dr. Brandy is making sure that my mind is somewhat shaped and not as warped as it was. But that says a lot for the people that are around me, and I use people that are good. You know, got Dr. Danielle, who is a naturopath, and she talks about, you know, again, nutrition and what you're eating. You can't have all those people come in, utilize them, and not get into a healthier place.
And I didn't bring donuts.
And I got Mark not to bring donuts.
She got
you know?
Me not to bring donuts.
But that's it takes a lot. And a lot of people don't have that. That's why I bring them in here at least once a month so that you can actually listen to them, call them on the phone, make an appointment, go and see them. They may be a little bit further out than you want them to be. Go get a physical trainer and let him come up with a program. I think in a week or so we're going to bring a guy in by the name of Jack Wilkins, and he's here in Bourbon. So if you can't get all the way to Austintown, you can go see Jack over here. But you got to be able to do something. You can go to Planet Fitness for $10 a month and work out. But you got to utilize it. If you're sitting up talking about it, it does nothing. And I'd be a hypocrite if all I did was bring them in here and not utilize them.
Minimally go out and walk. People go out and walk. Doesn't cost anything to go out and walk. On the weekends, and you know, I make it a point to go walk in pretty places.
Oh, yeah. That's how you went to Mill Creek Park the other day.
I went to Poland Woods.
Okay.
It's awesome. And there's this beautiful pass, and they go, you know, you could really spend some time walking and
collecting your thoughts
and getting your thoughts and, you know, commuting with nature and
meditating.
It's the best exercise. It's good to do what you're doing, but if you can't do that, go walk.
Do something. Hey, Larry, I was talking about you, huh? You heard your name, didn't you?
I was just going to listen today, but then I heard my name. You know, Stanley takes it as a black and white issue. It is. There are all types of body types out there. And you've seen them, Tracy. You've been in the gym. You'll see some guys, you walk in there, and they're just, you see the veins rippling out. They're all muscular. That's a certain body type. In my own family, my brother Eric, the one that was in the Olympics, that's him. He couldn't put on any weight. Everything he did went straight to his muscle. I mean, he looked like a Greek Adonis when he was in middle school, but he never lifted. It was just natural. Then you had other guys like myself. But back to, you know, eating the right foods. We've known this for years. And really, it was a guy I got a lot of respect for. He told me, he said, Larry, I'm just going to be honest. If it tastes good, it's not good for you.
No.
I mean, and now think about that because, you know, we pumped out sugar. I mean, everything's got sugar in it. You don't need the refined sugar. It's everything, every food out there has enough sugar in it for you to get what you get. But we like our donuts. I love my glazed donuts, but I got to stay away from them. But, you know, if you go like Stanley says, just by body fat index, what is a good body fat? Because at my brother, you know, he was at 4%, and they were telling him you need to get more. And this was when he was competing, Tracy, because in competing in the decathlon at 4% body fat, you were going to start using the fat, and now you're starting to tear down your muscles, which is bad. So what is a good one? And I've heard, you know, you hear 12 to 14 or 12 to 16%. But again, I think it goes back to how do you feel. Like we were talking, Tracy and I talked for an hour yesterday, and part of that hour was talking about this. I think if you're, you know, if the doctor says that your cholesterol's down, your blood pressure's down, and you got a 14% body fat, and you're close, you feel good about yourself, then that's what you are. That's good for you. You can't take a cookie cutter like Stanley wants to and say everybody should have the same because it's just different. And if we weren't, I mean, we are different. Blacks are different than whites. You know, and then you have all kinds of differences all over the place. I mean, it just is what it is. So I think you find that happy medium, but it's with you. But I want to stress to everybody out there, when you're going in and you have lived a sedentary life, and you say, okay, buckle down, I'm going to Planet Fitness. Give yourself 21 straight days of exercising and eating right before you, because a lot of people want to give up. You know, they don't see good results. All they see is the effort going in, and there's no pounds coming off. You've got to trick your body, because for all these years, you've been sedentary, and your body actually stores the fat. Well, then when you start to work out, your body's like, okay, something's going on here. But it hasn't figured it out yet. So then until you change the metabolism, I heard somebody talking about metabolism earlier, until you trick your body, and it's about a 21-day turnaround for you to get out of in your body to say, okay, we're in the mode here where I'm going to have plenty of food, but I'm also exercising more than I did in the past, so I better start burning some of this storage fat, this stored energy, because that's what fat is stored energy. You know what I mean? And you'll see it. You'll melt off that. You hear about people going to sleep and waking up, and they lost 7 pounds. Well, they didn't lose 7 pounds of water weight because they didn't get up all night and pee. They lost that. Sleeping is energy. It takes you. Your body is utilizing energy. So when you trick your body, the metabolism like that, it will start using that stored energy that we call fat, and you'll see it, and you'll see results. And I'm a big believer in inches. Loss, not weight loss.
Amen.
That's
my
rant. Everybody got their rant out of
that. That's a good one.
That was good.
Yeah,
that
inches loss is really, because that's what people see. They don't see the pounds because you don't walk around with a scale strapped on your butt. It's the inches. And when people, and gals especially, they're more interested they went down 3 dress sizes than they are that they dropped 40 pounds. I had one gal one time tell me when I worked in that industry, Tracy, I had one gal tell me, look, I don't care if I don't lose a pound and weighed 800 pounds, as long as I can fit into a size 8 dress, I'm happy, you know, because it's all about inches, yeah. Especially as you get healthier and you're building more lean mass, it has a 250% higher density than fat does. So you can actually go up in weight and lose inches.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
That's what I did. Because since I've been working out and eating right, I've gained weight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I've come down in inches.
Yeah, because and there's some great visuals online. As a matter of fact, we used to have actual tactile props and stuff when we worked, going back 15, 20 years ago, showing people the volume of a pound of fat versus the volume of a pound of lean muscle tissue, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tracy, why Stanley can't get that, because Stanley's liberal, and they can't understand that dichotomy. Well, I'll give you an example. They don't understand that if you reduce taxes, more tax revenue flows into the government. They can't wrap their hands around that because, you reduce taxes, so there's going to be less. No, there's more because more people are working. But I understand
right.
You know, it's a tough thing to grasp, but
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, and as your weight goes up from lean body mass, so does your metabolism goes higher, too. because it's your lean muscle that burns the calories, not your fat.
But that's why I always come back with body fat. I never come back with the weight. I never come back with the BMI. I always come back with body fat.
But the thing is, Stanley, even with body fat,
that tells me everything.
But Stanley, some people need a higher percentage of body fat for fuel, just because of who they are, how they're made. We look at
20%. I'm sorry. When it comes to 20%, not really. 12 to 20, yes. Not more than 20, no. It doesn't exist, Tracy.
And surely not 40, Tracy. Tracy, there is a happy medium here of truth. You know, Stanley's right to a point, and so are you, but you can't build in an excuse that 80% body fat is good then.
Exactly. You can't say that, I got half my body is okay and I need it for energy. No. And a lot of people do that.
Because if you needed it, see, it's a paradox, because if you needed it for energy, you wouldn't have had it.
We're not making excuses for people that have 20%.
Right.
I mean 50% body fat. You know I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is,
please, come on, Tracy. You know how many black women are saying it's good for the pushing, or they believe that a real woman has curves and this and that, and
Stanley,
they have 40% body fat.
Stanley, I don't know how many black women that do anything. I just know I can only speak for me as a black woman and how I want to be. I want to be physically fit. I want my body back. So my quest this year is to get my body back. And so I'm willing to do so no matter what it takes for me to get my body back, I'm willing to do it.
Okay. Good for you. But your conversation,
if anybody was around, if you were a friend of mine and we were in close proximity and you treated me the way you talk on the air, you would not encourage me to want to get my body back.
Why would I not encourage you? I'm being honest with you. Which way I'm not encouraging you? Am I saying
true? I don't need that much encouragement. I don't need that much disdain, because if you can't deal with me as a woman who had 52% body fat, you definitely can't handle me.
No,
when I get down to 20%.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me as a friend, you found a friend better? Is a good friend somebody that's always going to say what you want to hear, or a good friend somebody's going to tell you the truth when you need to hear?
No, I'm asking you, if you shut up and listen, I'm telling you, a good friend will love me where I am and respect me for where I'm going. And encourage me along the way.
And will tell you the truth when you need to hear it. Also.
You don't always need to hear the truth.
So we don't tell the truth of people.
Every time we mention weight, you go to 20% body fat and how much of a disdain fat people are in America.
Well, it is
and that attitude does not encourage people for a healthy living. And what I'm saying to you is you want to be able to meet people where they are and help them from where they need to go. But actually demonizing them where they are does not motivate them to get to where
you
want them to go.
Stanley,
I'm not talking about you personally, because when I say that, you're not the only one. I know people that are like you, that every time somebody sees them eat either Twinkie, they demonize them because they're fat. You don't know why I am fat. So sometimes you got to encourage them as they eat the Twinkie, so that at the end of the Twinkie, they end up eating a carrot.
Yeah, but how am I demonizing you? I'm encouraging you for whatever you do.
That's not encouragement. And as men, I'm going to tell you guys, you need to understand if you're dealing with women, you've got to deal with us a whole lot differently than being as brutally honest as you'd like as you would like to be with them.
But wait a minute. If you're telling me that, how come women, you have no problem being brutally honest with us when we're losing a job or doing something bad? You have no problem saying that to a woman. I never heard a woman say,
Women are from Mars, men are from Venus. That's why.
I never heard a woman say, you know what, I better not stick to my man when he lost his job that way. I made it be caring and nice and this and that. No, you tell him, get it, you lost your job, you better find another one.
Stanley, can I tell you something? I tell women the same thing that I told you guys and how they talk to men.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate.
That can explain why you have to hang out with men then.
You understand?
You talk to women the way you talk to us. No wonder why you don't have any ladies friends.
Please.
See what I mean?
I'm going to let you in on a secret, brother. It ain't fair. It just ain't.
No.
They can do what they can do. So,
please,
don't try to understand it.
Come on.
Don't try to understand it.
You can't have it both ways when you're telling me with women. Exactly. You can't have it both ways, Tracy. When you're telling me with women, we've got to be nice.
What I want to know is why there's only men in this conversation. I don't hear any women callers on this.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I don't hear women weighing in. Excuse me, poor choice of words, but I don't hear any women weighing in on this one.
I guarantee you, if there's a woman listening right now, she's shaking her head saying, yep, that's right. We get what we want, but you got to talk to us how we want you to talk to us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I guarantee it. But that's the truth, Stanley. So you can either fight it. You got three options. You can fight it, live with it,
or be alone.
Or become a homosexual.
No, I'll fight it anyways. I'll fight it until the day I die.
You're going to fight it to the... You're going to be a lonely man.
Yeah, no, I'm not, because when they bring them that logic, they say, well, it's true. They say, well, it's true.
I'm going to go back to the He-Man's Woman Hates Club.
Happy.
8334, Alabama, that's you. You don't understand. But we have to learn how to communicate effectively, men and women. Men need to understand that they need to know how to communicate to us. And, yeah, we're a little special. We're a little strange. But you guys are no walk in the park.
That's an understatement there. It's a little special.
What do you mean we're no walk in the park?
Men are no walk in the park.
Hey, which way we know I'm going to talk? You could come to any man and talk to me. Honestly, he's not going to come to you and say, well, you know, you could have not said that this way.
Yeah, but we can't. Oh, you'll know that's not true. You guys do not want to hear everything any kind of way. Don't give me that.
Oh.
You guys are fragile.
Until you do it with respect, we have no problem. If you do it putting us
down.
So
now we got to do it with respect. See, now you can just say what you want to be and be brutally honest, but we got to come back and do it with respect. That's my grip.
Yeah, but I'm brutally honest, but I still respect you, Tracy. I'm not brutally honest saying that you're this and that and calling you this.
Yes, you are.
I'm not saying that you're this and that.
And I'm uncouth. That's what you said. Now, you may not have said it in those words, but that's how we interpret
Tracy.
It. Because remember, what you say and what we hear is two different things. I thought you knew that.
Tracy.
Yes.
If a man's not doing pretty good in the bedroom, I think he'd want to know that. Even if you don't tell him the right way, you need to tell him that. Because if not,
Alabama,
that's how you get your woman too.
There's a way to tell a man anything. You just can't tell him any kind of way anything. Because guys are fragile.
Men are wired for pride, right? Women are wired for
nurturing.
Yeah,
but you guys are fragile in how. Because if we don't stroke your pride the right way, y'all become wussy.
Look here, you tell that to these women out here, because they don't care. They don't mind telling you, you ain't putting it down, you ain't doing this, you ain't got no money, you ain't.
Y'all wussy.
Every man
y'all
on this
know
phone
y'all
wussy. Agreed and been told that at least once or twice.
I don't know nothing about that. Y'all is wussy. Y'all are turning to assault. You guys have both the X and the Y chromosome. Y'all are wuss out in a minute.
I don't know. Man, look, we'll wuss out in a minute. We're just talking about weight, and you're coming with all this thing. You can't say that way to a woman. We're just talking about weight. And you're coming with all the emotions. Or if we're wuss out, what does it say about you?
Oh, we just shut it down. You know, that's how we roll.
We can't talk about that. You're supposed to accept me for who I am. You're shadow.
That's right.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
That is the biggest... stupidest thing I ever heard. And then we should deal with
worry.
Everything. We're not shallow. We're being honest.
Guys, we love you. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hey, Stanley. Blind Mike here. How you doing?
Not bad.
Hey,
I'm
Stanley,
reading a book.
First of all, I owe you an apology. It's just been crazy around here the last couple of days. I will get that information over to you as promised.
Okay? No problem, no problem.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. It's just that my wife's medical needs and just emergency stuff in the businesses and with people and employees and everything just rippled into the last couple of days because I've got, I'm only 17 days away from when the summertime crop of interns are arriving for the summer, and I'm working on work schedules, and it's all crazy. It's all good, but it's
just,
all crazy.
Just take your time. When you're ready to send me, send it to me. It's no problem. I'm
no problem. It's just that I normally, when I say something, that's done. That's my management style. You know, my management style is really very simple. Do it, delegate it, or dump it. That's how quickly I make decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, it's, I'm reading
I hear
book
where you're
about.
Coming from. Stanley, you're a young man, and that's your problem, son. You just haven't been around with the insanity of women long enough.
Oh, I'm not going to
exclaim
the insanity.
You're not
going to
win, Stanley. You're just not going to win with it.
I am
going to
win. If more men like me stand
win.
Up and say, we're not accepting your craziness, we are going to win. I don't want to win. I just want to be honest with each other. I do not agree when she's saying that if you have any health problem, I'm supposed to just stay there, which a lot of friends do, and say, girl, you look good, when it's not true.
Yeah.
And she's getting 300 pounds. Girl, you, the guy must be lucky to have you. And then she dies one day of heart attack, and everybody's crying.
And then they
really?
All stand around the casket and says, gee, she looks so good.
Exactly. She looks so good. I'm so shocked.
She looks good in that blue dress.
Stanley, I think what they're saying is, like, you know, I go through it with my wife. I mean, she's a former model. So, I mean, she's not a big girl, but she'll gain a little bit of weight. And if I tell her, hey, you know, you didn't put on about 10 pounds, she already knows that. They know that. They're big girls. I don't care what they know that.
Yeah.
So you got to take the approach. It's like, I mean, I'll say, let's go. Or instead of when she's wanting, because she cut out pop. She didn't have to worry about her weight. She's got the high metabolism anyway.
Yep.
So whenever she was wanting to grab a pepper, I would like, baby, why don't we grab, why don't we get this? Why don't we make some Crystal Light?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know, you're going to gain that 10 pounds back if you get into this Pepsi. You know what I mean? They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
She knows that. So like Mike's telling you. You're young. You haven't had to go through this. This is not Mike and I's first rodeo. We know how the game's played.
Yeah.
And they are different.
I mean, yesterday, Stanley, I got blindsided. A situation a year ago, okay? I won't get into what the situation was. It's not that it's not even important to the story. A year ago between me and my wife, a conversation word for word that happened. Yesterday, the same conversation came up with the roles totally reversed. My wife was the one who wanted the TLC, and I was the one who could provide it on this particular topic. I used the exact same words she used on me a year ago to make me feel good about the situation. And yesterday, I was in the doghouse last night and got no supper.
Jesus.
And then later on, she says, and we're still arguing about it today. I can't go near her, then it doesn't start all over again. I'm over in the office building. I guess I'm going to bring some sheets over here and sleep in the guest room here this weekend, okay?
Wow.
I got too much on my mind if it's constructive, and I got to hear this stuff. But I told her word for word, and I said, honey, last night I tried to point out to her, honey, all I said was exactly what you said to me a year ago on that same exact subject. She said, but I expected better from you. And it's insane. It's insane. Okay? And I said, yes, I can do that for you. I can be there for you on that day and help you with that situation. And she goes, I would have preferred that I didn't have to ask. You should have just volunteered.
No.
And the year before, you know, I had to go and said, hey, look, I got this coming up. You want to play? Can you be with me? Or she goes, oh, okay, if you don't mind. And, you know, the exact same situation in role reverse. I did the exact same thing, and I'm burning in hell, and she's still a saint. And we handled it the same way.
Yeah, I hear that.
Because, Stanley, I don't know how much of a scholar you are on word origins. The word hysterical and the word hysterectomy come from the same Greek root. And the word hysterical was here first. It's irrational. And if it's female, it's irrational. Just accept that. Even the ancient Greeks knew that, my little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're just not gonna win. You're not going to win unless you like sleeping outside near alligators and in the swamp. Unless you really enjoy that. So she'll keep moving you further and further out of the house till you're out of her life.
I know.
They're crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, ultimately, they're to keep her to good, Stanley.
I know.
Yeah. If you want them good, you got to roll with them. I've come to the conclusion that I only fight the battles that I got a chance to win it. If I don't have a chance at it, I don't fight it because it's not worth it. So even the ones that I got a chance, it's a 50-50 proposition that I still ain't going to get my way.
Yeah,
and
is that Larry
to
talking?
That realization.
Is that Larry
that's
talking?
Larry.
Yeah, hey, Larry, it's
my
mic. Larry, I don't know what your age is, but at my age, here's what I learned. I learned that you don't even have the luxury of winning the battles because there are situations where I won every single battle and ended up losing the war.
Yeah, that's true.
I tell you, it's just like you get these little Pyrrhus victories, like, you know, or Piraeus victories, whatever you pronounce that, you know.
You win the battle. Here's how you win the battle, Mike.
Yeah.
But you won't be around to see it.
Yeah,
You die because we all die before them. That's just the way it is. They live longer than us.
Yeah.
And at the casket, when people are coming playing their respect, she says to everybody else, he was a good man.
Yeah.
And she never said it to you.
No, of course not. Because I'd have hung around to hear that.
Yeah, that's the war. You won the war then, but you ain't around to see it.
Hey, Larry, does Stanley have your contact information? Do you guys know how to communicate?
No.
Okay, because I was going to send something to Stanley. Stanley. On that whole topic, Alan King, maybe this is still up on YouTube. Alan King, the comedian from the 50s, and who was very big in the 50s and early 60s, who's been dead now probably 20, 25 years. Alan King did this thing, and it's one of the funniest things. It's about the fact that women live longer than men. And he actually did a joke about that in one of his nightclub routines in Las Vegas. And a woman stood up and chewed him out that there's no statistical proof, because what he said was the reason why women live longer than men is because they're not married to women. That was the joke. And this woman took him out. It was during the Days of Woman Living. This woman cussed him out. Well, 20 years later, on the anniversary of this hotel or casino, he's there doing a show, and he tells the story. And he says, but this time I came prepared for that blankety-blank woman, you know? He had actual obituaries that he reads, and then he hands it to a woman in the audience and says, what's it say at the end? Survived by his wife.
Wow.
Or it says on the other one, he says, and it's funny, and he reads his obituaries and what these guys' lives were like, their accomplishments and everything, and it goes through like 30 of these during the routine, and there's not one where the man outlived the woman, you know? And it is so funny. So if you can find Alan King up on YouTube, Survived by His Wife is what it's called. And it's
Survived
it's about,
by His Wife. I have to check that out. But it is a statistical. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the insurance sales, and it is. A 50-year-old woman is going to get a non-smoker. She could be the same height and weight, same history, health-wise, as her husband is 50 years old, and she's going to get a break. And the reason being, the actuarial tables that they use are pretty good. You know, they can tell you, you know, by your height, weight, ethnic background, smoker, non-smoker, how long you're going to live. They can't tell you when you're going to die, but by the law of large numbers, it's pretty accurate. And women outlive men by about 4.6 years right now.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And half of them are not married to a woman. You're right.
Yeah. So that's his premise. But I used to host an online group that used to do investments and stuff together, and I had about almost 10,000 people on the mail list. We'd get together and do some very large seminars and calls and stuff. And sometimes we'd take a break and just in the middle of it take a break and do comedy. That and Abbott and Costello, Who's On First, were the two most requested things. People say, hey, do that Survive by His Wife thing. You know, I'd play it during the intermission, and people just loved it. I must have passed out like a couple thousand copies of it from the website we had up in those days. It was funny. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But, yeah, it just sums it all up, but it is really funny. Stanley, you got to get it. You're just not going to win because they want 2 + 2 = 7 until the next time they talk to you when 2 + 2 has to add up to be 3.
Exactly.
And you just have to accept that.
Yeah, you try to do, okay, let me do it more nice, and let me do it this way. And
yeah.
we don't have the same definition of friendship also. They love friendship of saying to them being their cheerleader, but men, we love friendship of telling the truth when we need to be the judge. I have a friend who told me the truth about some stuff that I did that was wrong. And
yeah.
I never took it personally. And they were the biggest friends. But I had some guys who were my cheerleaders, but they were not friends in my eyes. They were like, he's going to cheer for me. He sees an event, and he's never going to tell me the truth. He never gets the guts to tell me the truth. How can I respect you?
I know. Because you're thinking like a guy. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's just that, I had women during when I was doing the weight loss coaching, and some of my women tell me, well, I stress eat. And then I give them all the reasons why that was bad for them, and they said, now all you did was stress me out. I'm going to go home and eat, and it's all your fault.
Exactly. I'm like, really? It's like now she's training and doing this, but how long did we tell her? You could do this, you could do that. And then she came with the thing of, well, you know, ethnically, I can't go more than this. I'm like, really?
Right. Right.
That's an excuse. That's basically saying what? Because you're black?
And then you got to go down the road. Where, you know, if what you said, Tracy, was true, there'd be no black supermodels, and there are black
exactly.
models.
Exactly. There would be no people fit. It would be
women.
Like black people like, hey, sorry, you're black, and that's the reason you're fat.
You know, They don't have a black Miss Universe and a black Miss America because the black girls can't compete against the whites. They can. They win. They're gorgeous, you know? So it's just a myth, you know? And as an old friend of mine who's gone now used to say, if one of us could do it, it's proof that any of us could do it.
Can
so
do
if there's
it. Exactly.
One black woman out there who's in shape, then it proves they could all get in shape.
They could all get in shape. See, and we have to come as a society to change this because it's costing money.
Yeah.
It's costing money. It's costing lives.
Yeah.
The book I'm reading is going through the facts of things, and I'm so shocked when he's going through it. It's like, this is the stats. This is what's happening. This is this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people need to wake up, and a lot of people don't want to wake up. They say, my health. Until they get a cancer, and they come to you and say, I'm shocked I got a cancer, or I'm shocked I got diabetes. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's not color-related. It's commitment-related. They just got to make up their mind that they got to do it, and it's important to them. It's not cultural either. It's not endemic. And, you know, I mean, it's you could say that it's a black thing, but it really isn't. It's just, you know, it's just a whole bunch of sob sisters getting together and telling each other whatever they want to believe is okay because it lets everybody off the hook. Because that way no one has to feel guilty for not making the commitment to make change, because change is the most ugly thing to human beings. We would die most times rather than make change, and most people
make
do.
Change, exactly. And I'm sorry, sometimes it takes pain to make that change. When she's saying, well, you can't say that because I need to have confidence. I'm like, let's see it this way. How many years have you had people cheering you up and saying, you're good like you are and this and that? Did you change?
Yeah.
You never change.
Yeah.
It takes pain sometimes to tell you, if you better shape up or else you won't make the army, or you better shape up or you won't do this. I didn't hear no people when they go to the army say, well, you know, how come you don't accept me because I'm fat or I'm not in shape? Because those are the standard they have in the army. Or those are the standard they have. Yeah.
Hey, Stanley.
Go ahead.
Why are you so willing to want everybody to hear the truth on our weight problem, our obesity problem in the United States? But you don't want to hear the truth when a guy tells you on the political side. For instance, you're a big supporter of the Affordable Care Act.
I'm a big supporter that I wish it was that basically had the same health care as Canada and things like that. I'm a big supporter of that, but I don't like the Obamacare at all. And I had to apologize this show. I don't like it at all, and I had to apologize and tell you guys that you were right. I had to apologize and Tracy. You don't know. I don't apologize. I had to apologize to Tracy and Jeff and see you were right.
But that's
because
you're right.
Hey, Larry, when Stanley apologized to us, they took away his liberal card, his liberal membership card. You know that, don't you?
I apologize because you were right. I looked at it, and I was very disappointed.
Stanley,
I am disappointed in Obamacare.
Let me tell you something about you that I have grown to respect. You are an intellect. And you try to reason through things before you come up with emotional things, and I respect that. You are a person of reason, and if somebody can put the facts in front of you, and you then can check those facts for yourself, and see that the conclusions need to be modified or whatever, or come back and argue more, you'll do that. But at least you're thought out that way, and I do respect that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Instead of doing it by emotion, using your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the thing I have the problem with the healthcare is that I think as all American, we didn't come with the best solution. Republican, Democrat, they say, how could we do this? How come we are the biggest nation in the world and we don't have free healthcare? That I don't understand. How come we have some people who are dying left and right? How come we're putting it as a profit thing?
Yeah.
Do we want to be a nation of profit for health or not? And that's where I say we shouldn't.
We spent most of our history with healthcare developing phenomenal healthcare as a service. We did not develop it as an obtainable service. Because we have some great medical treatments, we've got some great protocols, we've got a lot of research, we've got a lot of science behind, we've got a lot of technology. It's just that the next phase is for us to find a way to make that affordable and available to more people, if
well,
not everybody.
It's a total system designed to be that way when you, instead of letting the market dictate it. For instance, we just had a doctor here in East Liverpool, and he was joined by four other doctors across the country. He's an oncologist, mm-hmm. right? He had prison time. He had to end up paying like $1.5 million, and he got his doctor's license full, and he's a great oncologist for an area that has a cluster. The whole Ohio Valley's got a cluster of cancer. They still don't know what the hell's caused it, but, you know, it is what it is. But here's the thing. The reason that he lost his license in practice, he imported some drugs that was not approved by the FDA.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And these drugs, it's not like they're killing people over in Europe.
Right.
These drugs are good drugs, but the FDA is kind of, they're the gatekeeper.
Yeah, and what the FDA does prove, they have to pull off the market like what they did with Fen-Phen and Redux, the weight loss drugs 10, 15 years ago, when they were killing people in this country, and Europe already knew that, and that's why the only doctors that could prescribe it in Europe, France specifically, were when you had people that morbidly obese and they were going to die if you didn't get at least 100 pounds off of them quickly, they were the only people allowed to have the drug, which was like 1 out of 1,200 people who were overweight that, to that degree. Here in the United States, you had doctors giving it to brides so they could take 10 pounds off before the wedding so they could fit into their wedding gown, and 6 months later they were dead from heart failure and stuff. You know, I actually had that happen to a friend of mine's sister, because she was stress eating before the wedding, and some doctor prescribed it to her under a different name, and she already knew that it was dangerous, and she took it because she thought it was for stress for eating, and it turned out it was a weight loss drug, and she was a very athletic girl, about six months after the wedding, she's on the tennis court one day, and she can't catch her breath. And it turned out it is a pulmonary hypertension and all that,
right.
High blood pressure basically in the arteries connecting the lungs to the heart. And 6 months later, she was dead. And this was a girl
really?
Who had perfect health, and she only wanted to lose maybe, you know, the doctor thought it would help her lose 10 or 20 pounds because she was stress eating before her marriage, you know?
Wow.
And in Europe, they already knew that the stuff 10 years before was banned to be prescribed to people like her.
Wow.
Because of the risk. And our own FDA didn't know that. And this particular case, my friend's sister, because she had such a clean medical history, there was no way that the pharmaceutical companies or the FDA could argue that it was other factors, because this girl, despite her pain, this friend of mine, saved her sister's body, would not allow it to be buried so that anybody medically in the world that wanted tissue samples could reduplicate the research proving it was the drug that killed her.
Wow.
See, a family doesn't think that way in a time of grief, but my friend knew that the only way to end this was to actually have tissue samples of her dead sister available for scientists around the world. And that's what finally got Redux and Fen-Phen pulled off the market here in the United States, and the FDA had to eat crow because they had approved those drugs. The FDA is no saint in my mind in this country. They are totally funded by the pharmaceutical companies, and every time there's a problem, you'll see that some fat cat left the FDA and went to became a fat cat by leaving the FDA and went to work in private for a pharmaceutical company or vice versa. Somebody was appointed to the FDA who formerly was an officer at a pharmaceutical company. The real horse over there.
Exactly. And it comes back. I truly believe that people, that we live in a society that basically they want people not to be healthy, to not be healthy. Because if everybody was healthy, then you cut out a lot of things out of the hospital. You cut out a lot of people making money.
Yeah, if somebody
you're telling
with
people,
a cure for cancer,
you take, you know,
if somebody came out for a cure for cancer, I mean, they would shut down a $20 billion a year industry. They'd have, I mean, people have been murdered for a lot less money, you know.
So, I don't understand. In our nation, we're not preventive. We're being more and more obese, more and more fat. We're thinking like it is normal. We're not doing the research of saying how can we fix it once and for all. We're not doing the thing, even though we know the solution.
Yeah. Well, Stanley, I mean, it's absolutely appalling. If you look at the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, the federal agency, and you look at the mortality statistics, Larry probably knows this being in insurance, and you look at the mortality statistics, I mean, you now have 8-year-old children dying of heart attacks.
I know.
And they don't think it's diet-related. That's the part that boggles my mind.
Exactly.
You get 8-year-old kids 60, 70 pounds overweight when they should weigh about, you know, they should weigh 40, 50 pounds, 60 pounds, whatever would be normal, and they weigh double that, like Baby Boo Boo, or what's her name there? That, the kid on TV, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's. I hope she spends her money well while she can, because she'll be dead by age 35 or 40. When you're that heavy, that early in life, the statistics are not in your favor for mortality.
Exactly. And that's the thing I don't understand. But
and
if
it's
we're
totally
not being
curable,
honest.
Totally preventable. By a simple change in diet. That's all it is.
Yeah,
get away from the thing. You know, because you put that weight on year after year. It's not about radically, you know, starting to eat just gerbil food and lettuce or something. If and like Larry was saying, you knock out one soda a day. Well, at the end of a month, you've lost 2 pounds.
Exactly. You drink 200, you drink, I don't know, 1 or 2 ounces a day, and you add it.
Yeah.
At the end of the month, you're drinking a lot of water. I'm not asking you to change overnight. I'm just saying you don't drink water, just drink 1 ounce, and then tomorrow drink two. And then tomorrow, after 30 days, you're going to be drinking a lot of water, which is going to be good for your system.
Yeah, and if you could up your protein intake by a half an ounce a day, not 3 pounds, a half an ounce a day, just up your protein intake and swap it against something that's high carb. Just do that little simple change. And like I say, I worked with people that I've helped lose over 400 pounds and do it safely.
And the same thing with exercise. Exercise, you could do it very slowly. Do one push-up and one pull-up. Then tomorrow say, you know what, I did one push-up and one pull-up. Then tomorrow do two push-up and two pull-up. After 30 days, you're going to be doing a lot of push-up and pull-up.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, damn, do the run to the corner, then run a little bit further than the corner, then run a little bit further and further.
Yeah.
If you do it every, it's the consistency that brings you there. It's not saying I'm going to be all this, and I'm like, okay, how long have you been doing it?
You know, your metabolism increases by 20% if you just stand up out of your chair. So if you want to do something like just watch TV, stand a half an hour a day. You don't even have to do it all at once. Just stand a half an hour a day instead of sitting on the couch, and you'll raise your metabolism during that time by 20%. You'll actually be burning more calories standing or watching TV. If you're on the telephone, you know. You know, most of us got a cord long enough. Just don't sit in your chair the whole 8 hours. Just an hour a day. Stand up out of your chair while you're talking on the phone and stuff. Most of us could do that very easily. You'll burn 20% more calories during that time. You'll use 20% more. I shouldn't say burn. You'll use 20% more, which means you do burn them. But, you know, a simple change like that at the end of a year, and all of a sudden you've lost 15 pounds.
Exactly. A simple change of when they say eat more vegetables, you're not a vegetable person. Take one vegetable and say, fine, you know what, I'm going to eat half of it. And then eat full of it, and then continue. But if you stop, if you say, okay, I'm going to do this, Stanley, okay, how long have you been doing it? 1 day or 3 days, and then you stop, and then you restart again, and then we got to restart it.
Yeah, and if you're somebody who eats at McDonald's every day, and you have a bag of French fries every day for lunch, here's all I'm going to tell you to do. Tomorrow, don't eat the whole bag. Just leave one French fry in the bottom of the bag. Just one. Throw it away with one less French fry. At the end of a week, make it two. At the end of a month, a half a dozen French fries. You know, that's all. Just leave a half a dozen in the bottom of the bag. And that simple change alone reverses the whole dynamic. but, you know.
Hey, Mike and Stanley, I got to scoot. I got to go make my Obamacare.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I got to go contribute to the President's Defense Fund or whatever they're going to, whatever's coming up next. Whatever.
Later, Stanley.
So, Stanley, I will get that email out to you, sir.
All right, take care, Stanley.
I think Stanley's gone already.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, you take care, Larry.
Bye.
Bye.